following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Bring the sabor with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. A mouth-watering mix of authentic Mexican beer, bold strawberry flavor, and a hint of spice. New Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. Bring the sabor. Drink responsibly. Modelo Chelada flavored beers. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Curl Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. All right, the IRS issued an urgent warning about a new scam to steal the electronic filing identification numbers from tax professionals over email. And cyber criminals, they can use this information to file fraudulent tax returns. And tax professionals should be aware of the latest phishing scams, but individuals should also take steps to help protect themselves too, because it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day we put our information at risk on the internet. And in an instant, a cyber criminal could harm what's yours, your finances, your credit. But good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. It's great. It's LifeLock, right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Cruella Classics for Sunday, March 28th, 2021. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got some highlights of the Adam Carolla Show to play for you. My name's Chris Loxamana, the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey everybody, happy Sunday.
And happy Sunday to you, Gio. We got an excellent show lined up for you all. And we're going to kick it off with a continuation from one of yesterday's clips. Gio teased it about Eddie Braun in studio talking about stunt driving, Evel Knievel. Well, let's get into that clip.
Adam Carolla Show, 1886. Eddie Braun, no Joe Coy in the sports. He was in the first half. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop are there. Adam talks to Eddie about all things stunt driving, various movies he's worked on, the legacy of Evel Knievel, and we get some of Gina's news. Check it out.
Eddie Braun is here. Eddie is a stuntman. Eddie's done Transformers, Brian.
Oh, all the fun favorites.
The Avengers, The Town, Navy SEALs, Dukes of Hazzard, Magnum P.I., Sons of Anarchy, all the shows. What were you doing in Transformers, Eddie?
A whole lot of craziness. It just depended on what day of the week it was, what we were doing.
But I'm looking at, like, The Town. I'm guessing a lot of that's driving, right?
Yeah, the town, you mentioned The Town, that's actually one of my, people ask me what I'm the proudest of, and The Town is definitely one of them. I was a stuntman working for a friend of mine, Gary Himes, who was the second unit director, and he wanted to put together a chase scene there that was very realistic without being, like, over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it came out quite, and Ben Affleck was directing, and I like the film, I love the action
sequence. I like it too, and I agree, it was like a... Like, there's a lot of chase scenes where the guy puts it in reverse and he's going through the train tunnel. The train's coming at him at 120 miles an hour. He pops it in reverse and it's like, oh, come on. Or lots of chase scenes where it's that sort of, it's the ferry that's leaving the dock syndrome, which is the ferry's left the dock. It's moving pretty good. It's already 80 feet away. They cut to the guy. He looks at the other guy. He looks back there. They cut back to the ferry again. Like, at that point, you're never making that jump. But The Town didn't do that. The Town had this tension of getting out and all that, but it never had that, oh, come on.
Well, one of the things that in my experience in the film business I'd never experienced before was Gary Himes, who was the second unit director and the stunt coordinator, he had all the stunt guys prepared for crashes, but he said, you're all going to a place at the same time. Don't force the crash. If you happen to crash, great. We get it on film. And if you don't crash, that's great too. It got really close. So you'd enter these intersections in your police car fully ready for an impact with another stunt guy coming the other way, and sometimes you just barely make it, and that It was like one of the most realistic scenarios, and I think it came over on film like that too.
Well, speaking of crashing, so Evil does it in 74, not 76, and that whole thing turns into a debacle. People forgot, like Hell's Angels, bikers and stuff start showing up, and it turned into this huge,
crazy... I don't know much
about
it, so set the scene, because...
Well, Evil says he's going to jump the Grand Canyon, and then they go, you can't. The Parks Commission won't let him, or somebody does grant him the ability to do it, but then they renege on it. So now he's going to go jump Snake River Canyon because he's going to buy it or something, right? How'd that work?
Well, yes. He said he was going to do it. He went and got found the Snake River Canyon and outside of Twin Falls, Idaho, that set up this big hoopla. And you're right. It was 42 years ago, but people forget what a big debacle it was.
It was first we're Now, by the way, known as Sloppy Seconds Creek, because he wanted to jump
Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon, but he had to go find the Snake River Canyon. But, like, what happened was, is people started showing up. Like, it turned into a carnival, but then it kind of turned into, like, Altamont.
Like, all kind of Sturgis.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, at that time, you have to understand that Evel Knievel was, like, at the height of his career. So when he said he was going to do something, it was epic, and it drew epic crowds. So he mentioned that place, what he was going to do, and, you know, this poor little town, Twin Falls, Idaho, all of a sudden, people from all over start showing up. It was like a Woodstock gone mad is what it turned out to be.
And it was like, hey, we got the high school marching band from Montana to come out there. Evil's from Montana, but they start forming up, and there's a bunch of Hell's Angels drunk, and they're like pulling these kids' skirts off and stealing their tubas and like beating them over the head with a bassoon and stuff.
Yeah, they turned the place into near riots. They burned vehicles. They turned over, broke into beer trucks.
They just turned a beer truck over. Like, it turned into sort of like bedlam over there. Okay. And then Evil seemed legitimately worried about it. Like, it didn't seem like a lot of his other stunts where there's a certain amount of swagger or confidence or whatever. He started getting into it with reporters. He was yelling at people. He seemed unnerved by the whole thing.
Well, listen, that was Evel Knievel, but he was also out of his element at that point. And this was one of those things that, I mean, he's lucky he lived. You know, on the motorcycle jumps, chances are, at worst, he's going to end up in the trauma center if it goes bad. This is one of those things, if it goes bad, they're going to be scooping you up off the floor, and that's it. So,
yes.
How wide is the canyon? Do we know?
It's depends on where you are, but it's roughly 1,600. It's about a quarter mile to, in some places, almost half a mile. So it's pretty wide.
And you're going to fire yourself up on this crazy, and it's a steam-powered rocket, yes?
Yes, it is a steam-powered, exactly like Evel's was.
And is the criteria for what you're doing saying I have to do it like Evel did it?
Well, yeah. I mean, in today's modern age with computers, with carbon fiber, and with drones, it's not a technological feat to get across that canyon. However, if you do it, if you take yourself back to, you know, 42 years ago and do it in the same manner that Evel did, well, then it's an entirely different animal.
Right. So it's kind of like we talked about it before, but going over Niagara Falls in a barrel is something. You want to do it now, you can do it in like the space shuttle, and you probably won't spill your drink. But doing it back then in a barrel was something. I mean, Harry, it's still something, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's much different, much safer, much whatever. But you're going old school.
Yes, I am. You need to understand why I'm doing it, and that
for the kids.
Well,
wait a minute. Why are you doing it?
Well, you have to start out. It goes back to the fact of why I became a professional stuntman in the first place. I met Evel Knievel as a child. I met him in Gardena, California, and I was a kid. And here was a man with a cape. I mean, he was like a superhero.
Yeah, he was.
Right. I mean, people don't...
You guys are too young to remember that he literally... I mean, you stop me, but out of the 10 highest grossing or most watched wide world of sports events, he did like 4 or 5 of them, or maybe 4 of the top 5. I mean, the biggest show, the biggest events, that was him. He sold those wind-up Sky Cycle things. He sold millions of units of those things. I mean, he was ubiquitous. He was as well known as Muhammad Ali was when Muhammad Ali was like at the height of his powers internationally. It was massive.
In the span of 7 years, he became one of the most famous, recognizable faces on the earth. He really did. He inspired a generation. He, in fact, every X Games athlete, every extreme sports athlete have Evel Knievel. It all goes back to Evel Knievel. He was the ultimate showman, and he was more famous for his crashes than his successes. But nonetheless, the man inspired a generation. So, Adam, you know, I met him as a child, and from that point on, you know, I got through the crowds and I got to him. Here's a guy who was wearing a cape and he was so cool. You know, I can only, I keep saying it over and over, but I feel the same thing. It's like touching Superman's cape.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be anything else but like Evel Knievel ever since I met him.
I wonder how many fractures he's been responsible for. Because every kid just built a ramp and got on their 10-speed or their Huffy or their Schwinn and went ramp to ramp.
For me, my first injury was a broken arm trying to jump my Schwinn Stingray over trash cans
to be
like Evel Knievel.
That's all you need to know. He's maimed dozens of children.
But he also inspired
tens of thousands
of
children.
How many doctors' livelihoods did he keep going?
Look at it that way.
So I meet him as a kid. I don't want to do anything else but be like him. Cut to, you know, I'm about 17 years old. I've ridden motorcycles. I was very fortunate and blessed enough to get into the film business at 17 as a stuntman.
Wow.
All
making
because
good money.
Well, you know, I was very blessed, very lucky. It just happened at the right time.
Had to be skilled, too. I mean, to be able to pull those gags off.
I like to say a lot of luck, but yes.
So let me get back to this for a second, because you're doing a Kickstarter here. You're raising money to do this. Kickstarter.com, and you can search Evel Spirit.
E-V-E-L.
Yeah, Evel with an E. Spirit to contribute. The launch is going to be September 17th. See, he's going to go from 0 to 400 miles an hour in 3 seconds, which is over
400,
which is insanely fast. People think about jet planes and stuff like that, but this is quite a bit faster than any of that. And
are you going to pass out?
You should pass out, right?
I hope not, because I also got to release the parachute.
Okay.
And the parachute is not going to automatically deploy.
Nope.
You need to pull the chute, and obviously, if you're passed out,
I won't be here for the follow-up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll come.
I should be fine. Listen.
You should be fine.
Can the Kickstarter costs go towards funeral costs? That's what we're kind of asking.
So you are going to – now, what Evel did a little testing, but Evel was not happy, excited about going, but he went. And when he went, his chute deployed
– prematurely.
Prematurely. And there's a little controversy. Did he pull it? Did he pass out? Was there a technical problem? What do we know?
It depends on who you ask.
Well, let's ask you.
My answer is I don't know.
But
people say he pulled it early. People say it just came out early.
And again, if it had just blown off or got tangled up or whatever, like it sort of should have, because it was dangling out as he was running up the thing or got caught on something, he just would have been launched into space with nothing under him.
Correct.
But he miraculously – now, what did he do? He got caught up on a tree or landed on the bank?
No, he landed just on the edge of the bank. Had he landed in the water, he would have drowned.
Right.
And had he just miraculously survived and never went back to finish it out.
And Evel would go back and finish things out, but this is definitely one he didn't want to monkey with. Now, you're going to get fired. How far do you suspect you'll go?
That's a good question. We've also done tests, mm-hmm. you know, and we've had some of the same failures that Evel has. The parachute shredded. Mm-hmm. According to our test, the rocket should easily fire me across the canyon. Easily. The problem lies on when that parachute comes out.
Right. Because you could float back the wrong direction or...
Yeah. We're more worried about... I'm not so worried about the parachute coming out early. However, I am more concerned about the parachute coming out too late.
Mm-hmm.
See, this all happens in the span of about 3.9 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So you got to get launched. You have to stay awake.
Figure out what's happening.
Not passed out. Figure out what's happening.
Set a drogue chute out to slow me down to an acceptable speed for my actual parachute.
Uh-huh. Because otherwise it'd be too big a...
Just be shredded.
you couldn't let a big one go that fast.
Well, you could, but then it'd be a bunch of fluttering stuff.
It would shred the actual vehicle.
Correct.
Are you building it to, back to the specifications part? Did you find the specifications of Evils?
Here's what's
Sky
really
Cycle
cool.
or whatever you call it?
Yeah, here's what's really cool. I was very lucky enough to team up with Scott Truax. He is the son of the original builder. Evel Knievel hired a gentleman named Bob Truax to build his Sky Cycle. And Scott was a child at the time, but he grew into be a master fabricator and all of that. Well, I teamed up with him. I was very fortunate to meet him. What a sweetheart that guy is too. And he wants to vindicate, you know, his family's name because they're forever known as the people that built the rocket that didn't work.
Yeah, they got kind of thrown under the rocket a little bit with the, it malfunctioned. And then I think Evel didn't want it. Certainly wasn't good for his reputation. Say he pulled the chute prematurely. So it was like the rocket.
The brand.
Yeah, the rocket did it. And now they have a bad name.
Well, yes. So Scott says to me, hey, I have my dad's original, all his blueprints, and I even have his spare parts. And I said, I have very personal reasons for wanting to do this. I have the wherewithal, I have the tenacity, and I have the willingness. I would like to do this. So we teamed up together, and Scott built, in essence, out of spare parts and whatnot, pretty much fit, form, and finish, the same rocket.
Yeah.
However, there's a very good reason that I named my rocket the Evel Spirit and not the Eddie Braun. There really is, because to me, and I get bristled when people say, hey, you're going to try and do what Evel Knievel couldn't. And that really bothers me inside because I don't look at it like that. I look at it like I get a chance to fulfill the dream of my hero, to finish out what he started. I mean, one guy left one side of the canyon in 1974, Evel did, and I'm hoping his spirit will land on the other side over 40 years later.
His, it's going to sound bizarre, but any, or macabre, any Vegas odds out there?
Oh, yeah.
Popped in my head. It's got to be.
You know what? Here's the funny thing. Yes, it's all, Kelly Knievel, Evel's eldest son, and he runs K&K Enterprises, who has teamed up with me as well on this. You know, he talked to the people over at Caesar's Palace, which were very close. Yeah, right now I think the odds are 60-40 against me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You can get odds to you're
going
to do it?
I can trust you. I'm going to lay heavy money on always.
Yeah, you mind yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Mortgage you everything. Forget about the kids and wife. I mean, just why not? This is either it's going to work or fall into the who cares.
A very dear friend of mine once said, always bet on yourself. You can't go wrong.
Well, not in these. Listen, when it comes to the Super Bowl, I can go wrong. But in this particular instance, this could be win.
Well, and you know what's so crazy about this, too, is I keep thinking when you talk about a big spectacle like this, like this isn't like making the Statue of Liberty disappear. I mean, this is actually going to happen. You know, this is not a sleight of hand. This is not an optical illusion.
No. At the end of the day, when all said and done, I got to climb into this thing, fire a button, say my prayers and hope that I get to the other side in one piece.
And again, there's a technological, there's stunts and then there's sort of stunts when Richard Branson's going to get the dirigible and set the record for whatever. It's sealed oxygen. Yes. You know, it's a lot of technology. It's not
for a good headline.
It's not a wicker basket. It's still an accomplishment, but it's a spaceship. This is not that. This will be 1974 technology is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's nothing more than a tin can. I mean,
he called it a Sky Cycle, I think he called it. I can't remember. It does have a couple of wheels at the bottom of it, or how does it work?
It rides on a ramp. My ramp is identical to his pretty much near the same place. It rides on the ramp. It's guided, but the ramp is about 12 stories tall, and it ride at 56 degrees, so it's almost like you're looking straight up. And the wheels, it's got like aircraft wheels. So it will ride on this ramp. By the time I hit the end of the ramp, I'll be going well over 250 miles an hour and get launched by that time up to over 400 miles an hour pretty quick.
Wow. What a crazy adrenaline.
Well, it should be a hell of a ride.
I You married?
Yes.
How's the wife with this?
Well, you know. She's on Tinder. Scouting out prospects.
Wow.
That's a whole other subject. And yeah. I have children, too.
They
think it's pretty damn cool on one hand that, you know, their dad's actually going to cross a canyon in a rocket. But, you know, they're nervous about it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see my son really caring. All right, Eddie. Again, boy, this is why don't you go to kickstarter.com/ Evil Spirit.
No, just search Evil Spirit.
Search Evil Spirit. Sorry. Evil Spirit. And just check out the video. I think you'll be blown away. All right. Shall we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Showbiz, Congress, tech news, sports news, world news. Give me news with Gina Grad. Weird shit out of Florida. Sex surveys, Obama. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the Olympics have finally ended.
Hold on, I got a thought. I was watching the Olympics. I had a great moment. So you got to find Gil Jones there, Gary. We talked about him before. Talked about him on another podcast, but you guys weren't around. But I had two thoughts. One is, as I was staring at the Olympics, and I was going, man, the technology. Like, these guys used to run on dirt tracks, and the spikes are all thing, and the outfits they're wearing. They used to just, Bruce Jenner just wore a tank top, mm-hmm. you know, and shorts, and now everyone's got the body suits and all this stuff. And I'm marveling at the stadiums, the technology, and the apparel, and all this. And then there's one point where I look up, and I realize everyone still has a number that's safety pinned.
Yep.
To them, and mm-hmm. I thought the real winner in the Olympics is the safety pin.
The guy
who invented safety pins, yeah. because here we are 100 years later, and it's just yeah. safety pinned on. A thing, by the way, they're doing steeplechases. They're jumping over things. They're doing vaults and everything else. They have a thing with a sharp, yep. pointy
outside
needle on it
their nipple.
That if they go face down after the steeplechase or when they're running the 440 hurdles or whatever, it can pop open and stab them.
Yeah.
It's metallic. It's not very, it weighs something.
Might be rusty.
I got to think there are other ways to fix pieces of paper
yeah.
to human beings. But then it's like safety pin, safety pin. Also, they're running and the paper's getting moving mm-hmm. around and stuff. They've shaved their tongue to be more aerodynamic. But they got this piece of paper flapping around behind them. And it's like, wait a minute. Do they need the piece of paper?
It's antiquated. It's
weird.
Quick
whip stitch would really solve that.
And it's got to be. And some of them you see are sitting down, bunching up, yeah. and mm-hmm. some are in the back and flapping around and stuff. And you're just thinking, okay, wait a minute. So there's Usain Bolt over there. Like, I know who he is. We do this in football. We could give him a number, put it on the jersey, right. or
wear
different
colors,
put the
yeah.
name behind. Mm-hmm. He's already wearing that guy's from the USA. That mm-hmm. guy's mm-hmm. from Germany. Like, okay, I got the flag. What's with the piece of paper
yeah,
that's taped to the guy or safety pin to the guy? And also, doesn't it want to just pop off? Like, you have to stick it and redo it? And
it does seem like the littlest amount of drag would be wanted to be avoided by any athlete.
Also,
in a speed sport.
It should be an Olympic event just getting your number onto your jersey. Like, who could do it the quickest? You got to do all four. I think they do the back. It's weird. I just thought it's... Safety pins are... Gary, what year was... Oh, the internet's out. The safety pins are 200 years old.
Okay.
Maybe more.
Yeah, 2000.
I mean, the actual just...
Feels like an Egyptian
The shape
thing.
As we know yeah. it today. Mm-hmm. People, I mean, the shape of the safety pin as we know the safety pin has to be around for 150 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting on diapers and whatever else. Weird, right?
Very weird. It's a very good point.
That's all
and
I can think about.
Copyrighted or patented in 1849.
Yeah.
1849. Okay. So.
Couple of years.
170.
They're still just doing, what are they doing? The number?
It is the number.
Can we just get a jersey or
yeah.
a name or?
Yeah.
Iron on?
Print it on the, yeah, exactly.
Kind of looks stupid too, because why do you get this snazzy running suit with your flag on it and all the colors of your country? And then we take a piece of notebook paper and staple it on the front?
Or do what triathletes do and write it on your shoulder.
Or anything but this, yeah. right? And then
it appears to be their name and not their number.
Yeah. I just feel like there's ways other than sticking paper
a whole sheet of notebook paper to your chest, right?
Weirdly antiquated.
Yeah. With a safety pin.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's 170 years old. All right.
Something
weird,
about
right?
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So the games are over. You're not going to have to look at safety pins for another 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2 years, excuse me. The closing ceremonies had Shinzo Abe, the Japanese prime minister, dressed as a Mario brother. It was super, super crazy. It was dancing broccoli. But the thing that people are still talking about is Ryan Lochte. He's not out of hot water yet for lying about being held up at gunpoint in Rio. On Sunday, U.S. Olympic Committee CEO Scott Blackmon said that Lochte and his three-team USA swimming teammates will face further action involving the incident that involved vandalizing the gas station after a drunken night of partying and then lied about it. So Lochte went on an interview with Matt Lauer. He dyed his hair back to a normal color. He looked super sad and apologetic.
Corporate Lochte.
Yep. First, mm-hmm. Matt Lauer sat down with him, and here's what he had to say.
I mean, there was a gun pointed in our direction. We were all frightened. And we wanted to get out of there as quick as possible. And the only way we knew is this guy saying, you have to give him money. So we gave him money and we got out.
So that's part of the story.
Next, yeah, that definitely sounds like a
puzzle piece.
Picking and choosing the parts of the story that happened and mm-hmm. turning
well,
into something
correct.
A little different.
Forgetting whizzing all over an AM/PM.
Hey, Gary, if you can find Gil Jones's qualifying for the 400 meter, that would be good. But I don't know if you can find it.
Okay. I'll look, but you mean Gil Roberts, right?
The guy. Oh, I wrote Jones. Yeah, I don't know. Gil Roberts, sorry.
This
Gil
guy
Roberts.
With all the
yeah,
bling and
yeah,
everything?
Okay. Yeah, the qualifying.
With a deep V-neck.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, next, Lochte talks about how this could have been extortion.
Yeah.
Whether you call it a robbery, whether you call it extortion, or us paying just for the damages, like, we don't know. All we know is that there was a gun pointed in our direction, and we were demanding to give money.
And finally, Lochte decides to take responsibility for what happened.
That's why I'm taking full responsibility for it, is because I over-exaggerated that story. And if I'd never done that, we wouldn't be in this mess.
First off, I know Speedo dropped him, but Speedo, if you're listening, I've had a couple of beers over the summer, and I'm not exactly swimming shape right now.
So I'm available, and that's something Ryan
But
Lochte
I am available. Mm-hmm. I am a name.
Yep.
You
haven't peed on an AM/PM recently.
Somewhat respected in the communities we figured out. Many different communities.
You have not run afoul of international police.
That's right. Would be happy to slide in there.
And ever the clothes horse, Ralph Lauren dropped him, so hello.
Oh,
and you saw me at the Quail.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely could use some help.
It's 1,000 words.
That was your pitch.
This is like, it's one of those things you always know when they do that thing where they go, I didn't do anything wrong, but I'll take responsibility for it's something, because if it is, see, it's always everyone's tone. Like what I'm saying is if the story is, hey man, we were walking and we're walking home from the bar and some guy held us up in front of a gas station at gunpoint. We just gave him our money and we left. You don't come out with a look. If I did something wrong, we didn't do anything wrong, but I guess I'll take responsibility. You just go, what are you fucking talking about? We're walking home from a club and some guy held us up. Right. I have no idea what you want to say. You don't get into this. If something's feelings were hurt, then
you're dipping your toe into the apology pool.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
all right.
Did you guys watch the interview?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No.
His attempt to show emotion was so cynically bad and such bad acting that he's so stupid he thinks that people were buying it. It's like, I'm really sorry. Like, he was really trying to sell it.
Swimmers are usually fantastic thespians, but in this case.
When his first run at the story, remember, was, so then the guy pointed a gun at my head and told me to get down on the ground, and I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad. I mean, the whole thing is sad because when you think of that our Olympians are supposed to be the best of the best and they're representing a country, forget about your own self for a minute. Step up higher and realize that you represent. I mean, that was an embarrassment. I don't know what happened, but obviously something happened. And the way that it's dealt with, you're a guest in another country. Mm-hmm. Conduct yourself as such.
Well, the someone on the morning show, my co-host, made a great point saying, you know, Rio should be thanking him for this because it took our mind off the algae bloom in the diving pool, the poop in the sewage in the ocean water, the drowning kayaker.
Oh, I had a great boy, this country's a piece of shit moment, which is the Chinese diver, something else for Gary to look for. But the Chinese, female Chinese diver who was leading. They just, she got out of the green pool and she just walked over to the shower and she did, was going to rinse off and the handle came off in her hand. And like, I don't think anyone talked about it or made a big deal out of it or anything, but it's just funny. It's like, wow, the stadium's 20 minutes old and the thing literally just like popped off. And it's the most visible shower on the planet. And this, the thing literally popped off in her hand. It was this weird sort of, it was a throwaway thing. Like she just, she was in the middle of her stuff. She was at the top of the leaderboard. I don't know if she's first or second. It could have been the second place diver. She gets out of the pool. She just walks up. They're just following her as they follow her. And they cut away, but you saw the thing pop off in her hand. And I remember just laughing my ass off. Yeah. So Gary got that. Now, the moment I had with my, did you say it was Gil Johnson?
Roberts.
Roberts. I can never get the guy's right name. But anyway, Gil Roberts, my son and I, Sonny loves the track, and we're watching, and the guy's getting ready to do the 400. And he's they're doing the thing where they're going along the, you know, they're, you know, lane number four. And this guy's got Mr. T type gold going on him. Two big studded earrings, gold, big diamonds.
Hold on. We're still looking for that one, but let's go ahead and look at the other one.
Oh, okay. It's funny.
Oh, whoopsie.
She's not the Chinese diver. She's Canadian diver. Sorry, the Chinese one was winning. She walked down, just popped the handle, popped right up there, and it's like, wow.
What?
Second of Earth?
That should be an ad for Kohler. Like, what won't happen if you get in a Kohler thing?
Listen, you want to talk about not having your shit together? I mean, literally, handle popped off. Anyway, so I'll tell you, I'll set it up, and then we'll see if we can find it. So. We're looking at Gil Roberts and going along the thing. The guy's wearing like Mr. T type gold chain and big studded earrings. And Sonny says to me, whoa, isn't that going to slow him down? Like, what's he doing that for? And it's like, hey, man, these guys are shaving their legs and wearing these skin tight, whatever. And then you're trying to cut down the drag, the weight. I mean, you're dealing in hundreds of seconds here with world-class guys. You're not going to beat anyone by 4 seconds. You're going to beat them by 10th. Any little thing. I mean, again, that's why you're not wearing Caitlyn Jenner's, you know, you're not dolphin wearing the dolphin shorts and the thing. It's too billowy. Mm-hmm. It's going to catch air. It's, you know, look, you're wearing skin tight stuff, but Sonny looks at me and he goes, he's got like 8 gold chains on. And I'm like, he does. And it's like, he's like, isn't that waiter's going to be sort of counter, like flinging around like one way or the other? And I'm like, I think it is. Like, he's wearing 8 pounds of jewelry.
And he has pendants.
And he has pendants. And initials. it's also, when you're running, it can start flopping around and do this sort of counterweight kind of thing going on. And so he's saying, you know, Dad, isn't that stupid? And I'm like, cause kids just think, Sonny thinks with perfect clarity because it's not clouded by society, culture, any other thing. It's just like, boom, why is that guy who's in the biggest stage ever, he's been training his whole life for this one moment. Why is he doing anything that could shave 1/100th of a second, 1/1000th of a second off his time? And I'm like, it's not smart. I don't agree with that. I don't wear the chain and then hand it to your second before you get on the blocks, or have them put it back on you after you get off the blocks, or wear it to the stadium and leave it in your locker, like whatever it is. Like, I'm not here to infringe on your personal sense of style, but you're going against world-class guys trying to shave 1/10th or 1/100th there. And I'll tell you what happened. So without any hyperbole, and it's at a like perfect moment, I'm like, Sonny and I are just having a discussion. Like, why is that man wearing so much gold? How can that help? And he gets in the blocks, and they fire the pistol. And I'll describe it. Gary can look for it. But
I'm still looking.
He's trying to qualify.
You were saying it's at night, right?
It's at night.
Yeah.
And he's trying to qualify. And he does that thing because it's the 440, because the lanes are staggered. It's a little hard to tell. But he turns that corner. He's in like in first or second as they come around for the last, you know, 100 and whatever meters to the thing. And I think the top three are going to qualify. There's a time thing involved. Either way, he gets about the last 50 meters and it looks like his head is being pulled backwards. It's not like, oh, the other guys, some guys run out of gas and some guys, you know, their stride breaks a little, or sometimes other guys just kick up a gear and start, this is their part of the race. So it's a strategy. His head looks like it's being pulled by the chain backwards. Looks like he's dragging a parachute by the chain. He starts getting like out of sorts, but it's his head that's leaning way back. And it's like, oh my God, it's like he put this video together so I could teach my son a lesson in life. Like, this is like, if he would have won, then my son would just look at me and went, well, I guess everyone should wear gold chains anyway. But it literally, he falls out of the top, out of qualifying. He needed to do first, second, or third. He finished like fourth or fifth. Ugh. And it all looks like it's coming from the chains, his neck and his head.
It was that extra drag.
Unbelievable how it played out. Gary, he didn't qualify, right? You can't find the video on it, but just tell me what
I see him in the semifinals, which indicates that he may have qualified, but I'm not.
Oh, maybe not this positive. Was the semifinals.
And I'm having trouble finding that as well.
But did he make it?
Seems to be during the day. And I see him coming in second, I think, behind Merritt.
Then this would have been the next one. This was an
individual 400-meter race, correct? Not a relay?
Yeah, not a relay. Okay. And it would have been then, it wouldn't have been qualifying. It would have been semi. Oh, I look at it, semis as qualifying for the finals, right?
Right.
All right, so semis.
I'm still having problems with that. It's semifinal race three. I know exactly what I'm looking
for.
What
position did he finish? Did he finish? I mean, what did he come in? Spoiler alert. Just go ahead and tell me what he came in, and then I can kind of tell you.
Fourth. Yeah, right behind.
Right.
That's the only one that didn't make it.
That's the one. Yeah, he didn't make it.
It's right. Semifinal three. If I don't find it in this show, anyone who wants to tweet it to me, please feel free.
Okay. Don't you find it odd that they're allowed to wear jewelry?
Yes.
Don't you think you're supposed to take off all your earrings or your everything?
Yeah, because it's supposed to be an equal thing.
And you could hurt the guy next to you if that chain's whipping around.
Well, you'd get
struck by lightning, I guess.
You have a flave clock on.
I think it's a little bit of a cultural thing and people don't want to get involved, but the coach really should go, look, we just have a rule, which is wear whatever you want to the stadium, although... I don't know if you want to leave it in the locker room here in Brazil, but let's not dress that way in this town. But just when you go walk out on the track, it's Team USA, here's kind of the rules.
Yeah.
Yes.
What if it were like balancing weights designed as jewelry?
Counterweights.
Oh.
Right. What I'm saying is all these athletes are supposed to compete on an equal level, period. Yeah. Okay, so one guy has a ton of jewelry, Mr. T starter kit. What if those are balancing weights or equal weight? I mean, you know, at what point does someone say it's jewelry or does it say it's something that's beneficial?
If I was a coach, I would simply, baseball players.
Well, magnetic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things that like,
yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Supposedly. Here's the other thing is, again, you're on a world stage and you're representing a country. What about a little humility? You go out there with gold chains and the bling.
He looked like an ass because he had massive amounts of gold on there. But also, what about the part where you come in fourth then with all the gold? Doesn't that feel weird?
Here's what I wonder. As he was training and aspiring to get to that level, did he always wear the gold chains and be so loud? And so how about when he was trying to get to that stage?
My feeling is this. You're wanting to make a statement or a personal statement of some kind. Have that statement be you standing on a podium with the ultimate gold, the one that's in a circle,
and
it's a medallion. Yes, that is the ultimate gold statement. Have that.
God has a funny way of showing this. This was
like God took his index finger and like pointed it at his neck and went, and he just started going like, oh, like his head started falling backwards. And he finished in fourth, but he was in first or second, and they just, boom, boom, boom. And it's literally his head started being pulled back. It was bizarre. Like, I've seen guys get beat, but not from their head falling backwards. It's just, to Sonny, by the way, in Sonny's mind, it's like, oh, the chain caused the loss. All right.
Speaking of that, can I ask you guys your opinion on something that I can't quite get behind it. What about the woman, and I can't remember what country she was from, that came in first in track and field because she dove for the finish line, even though that's legal.
I saw that.
I felt like it was kind of bad sportsmanship, but apparently it's legal and I should shut up about it.
I'm kind of with you, and like at the time when I watched it, hey, look, it's hustle.
Yeah.
You're doing what you can. I get it. I would sort of like the notion, and you know, it's like the head first slide in baseball isn't any better than the non-head first slide. They just do it that way a lot. I've heard that it's, you're actually probably better off just going in foot first, but it shows a kind of crazy, like,
right, hustle.
Yeah, like when you're trying to beat out an infield single and you dive at first base, you're actually better off running through first base.
Sliding into first is the worst thing you can do, unless you're avoiding a tag, but in that case, do it.
I feel I'm with you, Gina, and that I think it should be at least a gentleman's agreement that this is a foot race, and whoever's feet cross first and sticking one arm out and diving, it sort of does defeat the purpose a little. I like the hustle part. I wouldn't mind there being a rule that said, you finish on your feet. If you dive across, it's not that. But I like the chutzpah.
I think the reason, I'm sorry, I just want to clarify why I think they have it that way. I was doing a little reading on it. I think it was because if you're all, for whatever reason, crawling to the finish line, say everybody got hurt or something happened, you can still do boom, 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 one, two, three. But I don't think it was made for this.
I view it a little differently. I view at that level, you're so committed. That diving through that shows full commitment. At that point, you know you're going to eat it, but you're fully committed. And I look at it as the ultimate, you know, you're giving your last everything. And
yeah, I know it. My chain's off. My tip of the chain to that person who did that. I just feel like if I was the person that was running next to them and came in second, I would feel a little. I thought this was a foot race. Yeah, not so you could throw. Well, here's what I would say. I would not mind if we took their torso or their breastplate, chest plate, and made it that, which is interesting. You throwing an arm out ahead is a little weird, and I don't know if the arm counts. I would like to know, because if I'm sprinting and somebody dives and throws their hand just to break the invisible barrier of the finish line, that I feel is like a little... Your hand passed before as my thighs were crossed.
I think you're right. We talked about it a little, and I could be wrong, but what I remember hearing is it does have to be the torso, but she felt in that moment like she could get her torso over faster than if she
ran. And also, I feel like more people would do it if they thought it helped. It may be like that
more often.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying it didn't help, but I don't know. Much like the... Better to leg it out than do a head first dive into first base. I'm not sure how much it helps.
And it was a bum out, I think.
I'd have to watch a race. I did watch it, and I was thinking exactly how you're thinking, like, oh man, that's kind of sucks. But then I was also kind of thinking, well, would she have won it if she just stayed upright and legged it out? I don't know. Anyway, but I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with both of you.
The one who dove did not win or did win?
Did win.
Okay.
Did win. Yes, and that's why I didn't really like it. I would say it's a running race, and I'd like you to complete on your feet, just like when you're doing a vault or whatever it is, you have to land.
Right.
You know, whatever those moves are when you're doing half pipe on the skis or whatever, you got to land it. When you're doing the skateboard, you know, X Games, you got to land it. You need to finish it. I want you to skate away from your 780 or whatever, 940 or whatever it was. I want you to jog away from your race. That's how I would do it. And then to all those who go, yeah, but what if everyone gets in a 9-person pileup and someone has to crawl across thing? I'll give them a pass.
Sure.
That's how I do with all rules. Like, yeah. But what if this? We'll give them a pass for that. How about that? We'll use common sense. Oh, okay. We had it. The internet went down. So what do we got, Gary?
I know where it is, and if you want to stretch the show another 10 minutes, we'll be okay. If not,
why does our internet go down as much as it seems to go down?
When we're doing these shows, there's several people using it. It just we've tried to fix it. It's
all right.
Charter.
All right.
I hear Matt's watching porn. That's what I hear.
We will
a lot of bandwidth.
We will. Well, if it comes back up as we wind down, you shall tell me. Oh, he gave me the thumbs up, but that's...
Yes, I will do that.
Yeah, I got you. We need a non-thumbs up thumbs up.
The okay signal, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we can construe it as we're back.
Yeah, that's right.
Too. But,
finger guns.
I got you.
This is where my Japanese hi comes in. Hi.
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 Hi. It's perfect.
Hi.
It shows you're listening.
Hi.
But it's not confusing.
Hi.
It's very respectful. And between the bow and the height and, you know, with all the viruses and everything everyone's passing and all the cell phone, like I said, I am up to, I've now had conversations on a cell phone where the other person has dropped off If you took the amount of time that I've spent talking to nobody because the other person had dropped off, it would be 9 weeks. We're now up to nine. I mean, it's 11 minutes at a time, 4 minutes here, 30 seconds there. Well, I get on a roll.
Guess so.
Are you new, Brian?
Yeah. I got Fondelier here, and I'm in my car. Sometimes it's one way all the way home. And if, but half the time he drops off. If
anyway, I'm home. Good talking to you, Matt. Matt?
Right. But if you throw in the... Ah, these parking bitches. Hey, you see what I'm saying? There you go. All right. Where were we? Ah, Eddie Braun. Boy, man, this is an exciting event, and it's October 17th. Now, how do people watch this?
September?
Oh, sorry, September. Jeez. Sorry.
It's that long.
Don't miss it.
It says on October. I saw that. Sorry. Yeah. On September. Sorry. When do people, how do people watch this?
Well, we're not exactly sure yet. We're working that out. It's either going to be live streamed or it's going to be televised. And there's a lot of moving parts right now, and we're still figuring that out.
If you're in Idaho, you can just look up.
Yeah, if you're a Hell's Angel. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, the people of Twin Falls and the nearby areas will be able to see it, I'm sure. Yeah, look up. You can actually see the ramp and everything from the main highway.
So, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they're going to reroute traffic, though, because I don't think they want people watching a rocket cross the canyon while they're driving.
Kickstarter.com, and you can search evil with the two E's, evil spirit to contribute. So best of luck. And boy, when I say good luck to people, it's because they're doing a sitcom, on like doing a show on Adult Swim, a claymated show on Adult Swim. Good luck to you with that. But this, I really do mean good luck.
All of it. All the good luck.
All the good luck.
Thank you. If there's anything I'd want out of people or ask is their prayers and well wishes. I mean, listen, I'd be lying if I wasn't nervous about this. I'm trying to attempt something that has never been done successfully before. And the only guy to ever try it was my boyhood hero. And even he didn't succeed. So, yeah, I'm a bit nervous about it. But that being said, I'm not foolish either. I think I can nail it.
And, of course, Joe Coy, good luck to him. He's got to go down the funny bone in Columbus.
Got to go to Schaumburg, Illinois.
Be a rough crowd out there. Yeah. JoeCoy.com is where you go. Oh, Gary, he's got the...
Trying to fast forward for you.
Okay. Yeah, you can go back. You can go the whole thing takes 40 seconds, so you can just go from the part where he leaves the blocks. But, well, you just leave it. Go ahead. Run it from there. It's fine. He's turning the corner. Can I stop it, Gary? Or can you want to stop it? Yeah, you'll see the part. You want me to stop it, or can you stop it?
Sorry, I got to do it.
Okay. When they come around the final corner, we'll see where he is.
I'll have my finger on the button. You shout at me.
Go ahead. There's Gil.
I knew we were watching racing footage today.
Yeah. Didn't know it would be the fun kind with the chains. So he's coming around the corner. Let's see what place he's in as they go into the home stretch. He's motoring along. He's in the middle lane. But as they come around, he's in second place. So he's
a very competitive race.
It's very tight, but he's in second. And the top three are going to qualify. So watch him and watch his neck.
That head's going back.
Head's tilting back.
Oh, my God.
Arms flailing about. And it's like you just see his head pulling way, way back. And he comes in fourth. And just when you just see
at that point right there, it looks like a three-person race. Like that's
right.
That's the order of the
that's
finish.
It.
Right. He's going second. To qualify. And his head starts leaning.
Like he lost his balance a little bit.
If you look at everyone else, no one's head is leaning backwards. It's like the chains pulled his head off. And Sonny, having this moment, this crazy moment. And then as if things couldn't get any better, the diving chick pulled the handle off. my night. Then I had to go right down safety pins in the middle of it.
It was a big night.
That's how I enjoy the Olympics, everyone.
And that was Eddie Braun back in 2016.
Adam never brings it up, but a year before Evel Knievel died, he died in 07. In 06, he was on the KLSX morning show, and I believe he did a 3-segment interview, and it was the most in-depth Evel Knievel interview I've ever heard. Adam even asked him about the baseball bat and the legal stuff and the violence and things I've never heard him talk about. And he talked about like his son and his son's drug addiction. It's kind of one of the most epic interviews I've ever heard, and I don't think a lot of listeners have heard it, so maybe I can arrange for it to fall off a truck somewhere.
I would love to hear it, to be honest. I didn't even know he interviewed him, so yeah, please. Let's throw out the tire strip for that truck.
Let's go Tony Soprano on this one.
Yeah. All right. Before we get going with the next clip, I want to remind everybody about Tommy John. We talked about it before, the scrotal distancing, because we got to separate the guys from the thighs with Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear. All right. Look, you didn't think you needed its own special compartment, but you do. And it makes everything better, and you're that much more comfortable, all right? Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics, and fanatics call Tommy John's hammock pouch, quote, one of life's greatest inventions. It's like an air mesh interior hammock and moisture-wicking fabric, and has 4 times the stretch of competing brands. And look, if this is anything like Tommy John's loungewear or other underwear, it's a no-brainer.
No-brainer indeed, Chris. I am wearing my lounge pants. I cannot stop wearing them every time we record. They're the most comfortable office pants you can find. They say they're lounge pants, but if you're working from home, they're office pants.
Oh, yeah. And when you get anything Tommy John, you're covered by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. We got a great deal for you right here in Corolla Classics. Tell them, Gio.
And right now, you'll get 20% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/classics. That's 20% off underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/classics. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details.
All right, let's get going with our next clip. This is from 2013. And we're going to talk about the Maple Rye Better Man.
Adam Carolla Show 1115 featuring Jay Moore. Not in this portion. This is from the top of the show. Allison Rose and Brian Bishop, July of 2013. Adam goes over the Maple Rye story from about 6 months earlier. And then he tells the tale of his nephew Casper visiting and staying with Casper's grandmother, which Adam had a funny reaction to, and trying to teach him how to drive, which results in a blown tire story that's pretty legendary. Check it out.
Months ago, 6 months ago, I was going over to Bill Simmons, the sports guy. I was going to his house, and, Ace Man, bring the Mangria. And I said, not only am I going to bring the Mangria, but, I'll tell you what, get some lemons, get some rye whiskey, and we're going to make some Better Mans. And he's like, what's that, Ace Man? I said, no, you're going to love it. You're going to love this drink. Simple syrup and rye whiskey. And I said, all right, going to love it. And he said, all right, Ace. And I think I sent Lynette to the store. I said, buy a bottle of rye. She just went to the market. Rye, it's getting popular. It wasn't very popular. It's a Canadian whiskey kind of thing. I said, buy a bottle of rye. She buys a bottle of rye. Carrie, Bill's wife, has a lemon tree, like literally climbs up it like a crazy native or Keith Richards or something. And she gets all lemons. And we get to the bar in the back of the house, and I go, all right, I'm going to make you guys these Better Mans. I love these things. And I look at the bottle of rye. I told you guys before, it says maple rye on it. And I'm like, maple rye? And then, of course, you know, Lynette, what's with the maple rye? That's all they had. That's the only rye they had was maple rye. And I go, all right, well, hopefully it's the name of a brand, Canadian rye. Unscrew the top, take a sniff of it. It smells like I put my fucking nose up Mrs. Butterworth's cunt. That's what it smells like.
Delicious.
I know these words have been uttered 1,000 times by 1,000 poets.
It's on the label.
Wouldn't that be an upgrade sometimes?
I think so. But not when it comes to you wanting whiskey rye.
Yeah, no, not an upgrade right to the whiskey.
So I'm smelling maple. Thick maple. Mm-hmm. And I realize for this drink that I'm making that is Mangria and lemon juice, the maple bar aspect of it is completely taken it into a bizarre other direction.
It becomes a dominant flavor, or at least a competing flavor.
Yeah, it fucking tastes like it's a drunken donut at this point. Write that down. My gosh, I figure out how to make a nickel out of that. So I'm like, all right, well, what are we going to do? I want to make these Better Mans, and Carrie's climbed the tree.
Your hatred of wrong flavors meets your need to imbibe alcohol.
Yeah.
guess which one won. So I'm like, all right, well, let's go for it. So we go for it. And, like, people are like, you know, not that bad. And I'm like, I know what the real one tastes like. I had Simon Ford, the mixologist, make it for me, and it was unbelievable. And this tastes like shit compared to it. But everyone else is like, hey, it's got a lot of booze and tastes all right. So smash cut to 4th of July weekend. I have a friend who lives in Malibu, friend of Cousin Sal's, friend of Bill's as well. And we're all going to go over there, and we're going to get our party on. And I send an email to Bill's wife, and I say, hey, hold on, I haven't finished. Hey, there you go. I say, let's do the better man and, you know, pick up some rye and I'll bring the mangria. And again, it's just lemons, rye, simple syrup and mangria over the top. She says, we'll do. And I even sent like a second one, like everything clear. Got it. She's like, will do. Will do. And I come walking into the beach house and I go, all right, everybody, let's get ready for some better man. And I pull up the thing.
And everything's exactly as you requested.
Yeah. It's a simple story.
End of story. Moving on. Maple rye. Maple rye. And I go, oh, fuck.
She's the same brand.
I don't recall. But. Because I blocked out, like a horrible prison rape, I blocked out the first one.
For your
one.
Survival, you had to.
I had to. So it was my coping mechanism. And I said, shit. She now thinks the shit is made with maple rye because we got the fucking maple rye last time. And I was like, Carrie, sweet dear Carrie, sweet, sweet Carrie.
Did you have your hands around some part of her at this point?
It's not maple rye. It's just rye. And she said, yeah, I know. And I went, why'd you get maple rye? And she was like, that's all they had. And I'm like, that's all. I looked. I swear to you, I looked. That's all they had. And I started thinking, I've sent really two people out on rye runs. Not dry runs. I should have sent him on a fucking dry rye run.
That's what you got.
I sent two people out on a rye run, and they came back with maple rye.
Who's
and
buying it, up all the rye?
I don't know. Each time they're like, that's all they had. And I'm like, well, first off, this is why you don't introduce other horrible flavors, because the people who want fucking rye buy rye, and then you're left with the maple rye, and eventually the maple rye goes. It's mm-hmm. my blueberry bagel scenario. Eventually they get eaten. The asshole, the fucking Nazi war criminal who goes on the bagel run and comes back with the blueberry bagels.
Be a funny thing for a Nazi war criminal to buy, but
ironically, yeah.
Ironic bagels.
Yeah, they go on the bagel run. Eventually, the blueberries get, and eventually, the maple rum gets bought because it's all, the maple rye gets consumed because it's the only fucking thing on the shelf.
And then it gets reordered, and then this continues.
There's a part of me. Now, can somebody tell me, is this a hot commodity? And the second thing, when you want rye, like when you're saying, I am in the mood to consume, I would like to drink rye whiskey. I like rye whiskey. That's my drink. Or this drink calls for rye whiskey. When does this thing tasting like a log cabin and comes in a fucking squeeze bottle, when does that enter into the fray? Like when do you
never.
Go, that's no point. Like does anyone ever go, has there been a situation where someone went to the bar and they'd go, bartender, give me rye, straight up. And they came back and they went, oh, no, this tastes like rye. No, I wanted mine to taste like a maple bar.
Never.
And I know, so why?
Yeah, because rye is a pretty specific, arguably refined alcohol. That person isn't going to be like, oh, yeah, I don't really care what it tastes like.
Right.
And maple rye is even more of a friend, like, you wouldn't call rye a very mainstream drink. Like,
yes,
no one grabs the vodka and the rum and, oh, get some rye. Like, and the maple is even more of a fringe element. Like, it's so strange that that's all they could find in two instances.
So, thankfully, there was, like, some Jamesons there, and I just made it with whiskey, and it turned out pretty damn pretty damn solid. And then the Odyssey began, which was I brought my nephew, Casper. He was staying with me for the week.
Name.
Yeah, it is sweet.
That's a sweet name.
He was staying with me, not so sweet 16 and a half years ago when I first heard it, but now.
It's grown on you.
Cool. And Casper is staying with me. Lynette and the kids are in Florida, and we're going to get some quality time in, and he's staying with me. Now, the first thing out of my mouth is, do you drive? Can you drive? And he said, I got my learner's permit, but I ain't really into driving. And I don't know what's going on these days with 16-and-a-half-year-old males. They're like, huh. And you
Wait,
go
that,
like...
That's what really what he meant, that he doesn't... It's not something he enjoys or is into?
Yes. The world has turned upside down in that young women will be like, well, I'll blow the guy, but I don't want to go steady with him. And then young 16-year-old guys are like, yeah, I'm not – I don't really – I mean, I'll drive in a pinch, but I don't want my license or anything.
I like, can't even fathom that.
I don't know what – there's a whole new generation.
I wanted to drive since I turned 9.
Well, first off, I wanted to drive because I wanted to flee my environment. These people
freedom.
Don't want to flee. They have a 60-inch plasma and a Game Boy, and they're talking to their friends on their social network, and they're not interested in driving.
I guess there's no need to ever leave the house then.
Something's going on, but either way, they ain't going down to the levee and drinking their whiskey and rye.
Also,
yes.
Drive. We may take for granted that to a person who's just got the ability to drive, driving in Los Angeles is not a pleasant experience.
No.
Like, that's not something to look forward to. Like, oh, great, I got to drive and sit in, like, literally 5-mile-an-hour bumper-to-bumper traffic.
It is not, and thus he has chosen to abstain. So I said, well, you got your learner's permit, right? And he said, yeah. And I said, have you driven before? And he said, 2 times. And I said, okay, I'm going to make a driver out of you. Hence, I need a designated driver on the 4th of July. Get my ass back from Malibu. So
it begins the montage of the quick driving lessons.
So first thing we did was we came over, took him over here to the shop, and we drove back. And I said, "You ever drive on the freeway before?" And he said, "Never." And I said, "Well, here we go." And he said things that, again, 16-and-a-half-year-old guys never said when I was that old, which is, "This is scary." like. It's scarier to drive on the street. The freeway's a little faster, but it's actually, you know,
probably scarier for you than him.
Technically, yes, quite a bit. And so we're driving a car with 510 horsepower, by the way. So I'm saying, you know, take it easy. And he's driving. He's doing all right. First thing I did was I went and picked him up from my mom's house, and he stayed there for a couple days. When I walk into that house, first off, literally 5 wall-mounted air conditioners buzzing at the same time. Like, at a certain point, you got to break down and get central air. You can't put one in the window of every single room in the house. Thank God there are not many rooms. But I walked in there, and I was just like, I got that weird shiver, like when you see a compound fracture. And I was like, you stayed here for 2 days? Like, I sure did. And I was like, ugh.
Crime scene.
Oh, yes. This is where my youth was murdered. I was like, oh, God, I got to get you out of here.
You're like a psychic. You put your hand on the wall and you hear the screams.
Yeah.
You feel
yeah,
them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I did the, lesson number one, don't ever end up that way. That was lesson 1 through 45. So I took him with me. We passed my high school, my old high school, North Hollywood High, where they had the lock it, hide it, keep it up on the electronic Huskies board, like in the front of the lawn. Like most used to say, have a cool summer. Now it's lock it, hide it, keep it. And I just thought, first off, the toll that this kind of is taking, like, you know, don't throw your kid in a dumpster and barbed wire everywhere and senior abuse and stop. Oh, the other one was human trafficking and stuff
no,
like
that.
No,
yeah.
You know, human, the subtle psyche toll that this is taking to all of us who remember society where signs said, have a good day or when the vans are rocking, don't bother knocking, about locking it and hiding it. And that, then you get to keep your own property.
Oh, you end up even
the only way.
From the high school. Like, the high school should say SATs coming this fall or something like that. Not general rules of crime ridden neighborhood life for those of us stupid enough to still be in the neighborhood.
Was the sign for locals or for the, obviously not for the kids because it's July. It was for like passerby.
Yeah, it's just like we
I
have,
assume this is for the kids.
We have a sign. It's in front of North Hollywood High. It's lit up and we might as well put something on there. So it is the
throw a vote of confidence.
I don't even know what lock it. I don't want to hide my shit.
Yeah.
Doesn't, hey, LAPD, I got a good campaign. Do your fucking job.
You put a sign in front of their cars that prevent break-ins.
They're going to hang out in front of your fucking windshield and tell you what to do. Do your fucking job. Then I won't have to lock it, hide it, and keep it, and report drunk driving, and turn in and buzz driving and all this. How about you fucking do something?
Or how about, hey, if it's not yours, don't take it. It's a little wordy.
Yeah, why don't you focus on the people that are doing the stealing and not the ones that are fucking have the laptops?
Yeah.
I think that'd be a great stunt for this podcast if we erected a billboard in front of the like police station and it's just to like do your jobs, prevent crime, get out there, hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. Like whatever that thing, whatever they play like champions.
They're going to tap it when they go to their cars.
So I'm looking at that. All right. So I said, look, I put him behind the wheel. I said, now we're going to drive. We're going to practice driving. You know, he's on the brake, the whole thing. And, you know, he did a decent job. He did a pretty decent job. And then I said, tomorrow we're going out to the beach. And Uncle Ace is going to get his buzz working. And then you're driving home. And the good news is I teach traffic. I've been through driving race school 4 times. I'm a good wheel man. I'll just listen to me. We'll be fine. So I have a couple of mangrias, and the good news is I don't overdo it. I don't know why.
That is good.
Maybe it was the fact that the rye tasted like a fucking Johnny Cakes. So I took it easy. I didn't imbibed a little mangria over the course of a number of hours, but it was about 8:30 at night, and it was getting dark, and we walked out to the car, sort of parked up the street, and I said, all right, you ready to do this? And he said, no. And I said, you don't want to drive the canyon? Nah, not at night. Not at night. And I said, okay. Now, I know, here's the sad part. I, with a buzz, am a better and safer, much safer driver than you, minus a buzz, who's a horrible driver, driving through this canyon at night. Not in the eyes of the law, but practically speaking, I can handle this car much better than you can handle it with a couple mangrias in me. And like I said,
I would say much better than anyone who is just starting to drive.
Yes, thank you. That is true. And then I thought,
don't empower him, Allison.
But it's true.
And then I went back and I sort of went through like, all right, I had a couple drinks. I was eating the whole time. It's been about 4 or 5 hours. Took a long walk on the beach.
See, he was doing
out
math.
A little mangria.
Clearly, he was in his right mind.
Yeah, and I went, all right, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. So, get in the car. It's about 8:30, 8:45, and start making my way. Now I'm thinking if we drive all right and get back to my house, watch the fireworks, and I notice as we're getting back on the 101 freeway, front tire feels really weird, real weird. And then I realize, oh shit, I got a blowout, and I get off on Tampa, and Tampa is an exit that's probably 12 miles from my house. And I get off, and I pull off, and I pull up the street, and I go across Ventura Boulevard, and I pull in front of a driveway. I don't want to pull up against a curb because I know it's on the right side. It's on the passenger side. And I know I got to get a jack under there and change the spare. So I pull up next to a driveway because it dips down, and I know I got some room to work. So I pull up to this driveway, and just to make matters worse and so you know where I'm coming from, I throw my back out, which I rarely ever do, but I threw my lower back out 2 days earlier and I've just been kind of nursing it.
How'd you do that?
Doing nothing, which is how you do it, really. You do everything in the world and then you do nothing and pow. Same way I tore my meniscus. But my lower back, and I never have any back problems, but I had a pinch something in my lower back. No worse activity, any chiropractor will tell you, changing a spare. Because the first move you have to do is you pop the hatch, and you have to undo all the mechanisms, and then you have to lift that 20-inch donut out of the coffin that it's in, and there's no bending at the knee. There's only cantilevering forward. There's no way to get up under it or do anything. You have to just sort of lean forward and do this move that is, it's like literally, it was like a Tylenol commercial where like someone should have illustrated a red spot. You know,
red.
So I had to do the out the back.
Well, thank God you had a healthy 16 and a half year old with you. Do the heavy lifting.
These guys are less active than you and I were. I'm literally like, all right, grab the lug wrench, huh? Lug wrench? What? Do you know what a lug wrench is? No. Okay, hold on. Forget it. Let me get the lug wrench. All right, put it on the lug nuts. What? To protect the lug, take the lug nuts, put the lug wrench on the lug nuts, and then turn it counterclockwise. We got to bust them loose while we're on the ground. We don't want to jack the car up, because then the front tire will just turn while we're trying to bust them loose. Bust what loose? All right. Okay. Just hold your phone up so I can use it like a flashlight. So now I'm like literally wearing shorts and flip-flops and the knees on the asphalt kind of thing, just sitting in the gutter kind of thing and like bending over. And then he's jacking the car up, but it's the world's shittiest jack. It's the newfangled, doesn't cost anything. It's not a real jack.
Where did this jack come from?
Sadly, Germany and the trunk of the car. But new cars are sort of like, we'll give you a jack, we'll give you a spare, we'll give you a lug wrench, but plan on never using it. Like, God.
Emergency only.
You got the run flat tires. You got the whatever it is, if it's BMW, like the BMW assist or whatever.
That's
the
what it is. Yeah. But don't ever plan on using it. And this thing is this new fangled thing that is literally the cheapest piece of tin where the one thing slides under it and you crank. And so he's doing that. He jacks the thing up. I do the second worst thing you can do when your lower back hurts, which is when you knock all the lug nuts off, you pull the tire off, like you do that move. Like there's no bending at the knee. There's no any. You literally have to like sit and like pull, but you got to lift it a little bit while you're pulling it. Now the car's jacked up and now the jack pops out. And the car's literally just almost sitting on the ground because of the way the street curves. And we're sitting, and it's the right side against the curb. And what I don't realize yet, the back tire is flat as well on the passenger side. So the car is sitting literally just inches off the ground. But I got the tire off. So I say, we got to get the jack under. And he keeps trying to jack it up, and it's getting to the point. And now I'm doing the most painful thing you can do for your lower back, which is trying to get the spare tire on, like lifting it and going, and I'm yelling at him, the lug nuts aren't lining up. Just go another inch. Just keep cranking. And then I hear a pop, and the thing pops out, and the thing drops down again. Then things get bad.
What car was this? Just so
this is an Audi. This is an Audi.
Lynette's car?
Yes. This is Lynette's car. We took Lynette's car because my car in the driver's side rear tire has a screw in it, like where you see the screw head coming out, but it's not leaking, but it's in there.
Flat tire, you're not supposed to go a certain
I put like fix a flat or something in it, and but I'm thinking, I don't want to take my car. It's got a thing in it, so let's play it safe.
You took the reliable one.
Yeah. So now, of course, now enter guy who owns house, because he has to attempt to try to pull into his driveway. You know that thing where if you block someone's driveway for 10 seconds,
that's when they show up.
They like are pulling in, and he's pulling in. And of course, it's never Murph from the 76 commercials. Like, hey, what do you need? A floor jack, scissor jack, pallet jack? I got them all. Let me help you. Oh, no. It's like crazy. Middle Eastern, ponytail, salt and pepper, you know, super skinny calves guy. What is going on? And he's a nice guy. And I'm like, we got this jack and it's not working. I said, do you have a jack, like a floor jack, like a real jack, something in your garage, something we can use? No. And then he opens the trunk of his car and he produces. He goes, let me get my jack. Pulls out the exact same jack. It's literally exactly the same. It's like, it's great. It's awesome. So I go, okay.
I thought I was going to say, let me pull out something to help you. He pulls out his phone.
So now I can't get, we try 10 times to jack the thing up. We can't. Then I call.
It's just a flimsy jack.
Well, the car is so much lower than it should be because the jack popped out while the wheel was off, and now it's down. And it's the road is turning, and it's on the right side, and the right rear, the passenger side rear tire is flat too, lowering the car even more. It's like sitting on the ground. We can't get the jack under it. So I do this thing where I'm like, call Uber cab, and he's like, I don't know what that is. Nah. And I'm like, here's a phone. Here's what you do. I know you kids. Here's my phone. It says, call the smartphone. Now get Uber cab on the, get them over here. And he's like, hello? And they're like, billing address? And I'm like, it's in my shit. It's not my home address. Expiration on, do you have an account? They want to know if you have an account. Like, I don't have an account. And they want to know about 15 different things. And he's just, it's dark.
You got to set the card before you call him.
We're standing on a sidewalk. It's midnight now. It's fucking pitch black. And I'm just standing there next to him with my back killing me going, I don't have the zip code of the, I don't have the zip code of the mailing address on me, or it's in my wallet. It's dark, you know. And he's like, I don't know. They're putting me on hold. And as I said, fuck it, just hang up and call a cab. And he's like, what cab? I also, by the way, tried to call like Audi Care, but the car's not under my name.
Oh God.
And it's not under Lynette's name either.
These are rich guy problems.
Yes. So they're like, we have nothing with your name attached to this thing at all.
Do I dare ask whose name it's under?
Yeah, it's under like a corporate name.
Oh.
Or it's her, that's the corporate car, you know, but I can't, I'm like, my head is reeling and I'm trying to, I'm just keep giving them her name, Lynette's name, and I'm getting nothing. And then I'm like, fuck it, call a cab. So now, I say to the guy, by the way, do you have a flashlight in the house? It's pitch black. I can't see what's going on. I can't see where to put the jack. No. There's a part of me that went, if I offer you $10,000, I bet you would produce a flashlight. Like, you live in a house. It's a house. It's not an apartment. Like, I bet there's a flashlight somewhere in that fucking house.
I would bet.
And then I just realized that another guy came along who was like his roommate or something, who was like another crazy nationality. And then I just thought, it just couldn't be where you just had some fucking dude who looked like Eric Stromer went, you want a ride? Where are you heading? I'm throwing you in the car. I'll just give you a ride if you want a ride. No, it's just like cultural, languagey kind of. They weren't mean or anything.
No,
it was just like.
But you'd think unless they were nervous about you, which it doesn't sound like they were, you'd think that they would invite you in and say, do you want to use our phone or something like that?
No, there was none of that. Again, there wasn't outward hostility.
But there was lack of helpfulness.
There was, I don't have a flashlight and I have a jack, but it's the same one you have. And then at a certain point, at, you know, 12:15 in the evening, 12:30, it's like, good luck. I'm heading in. And because my parents never did anything for me, I don't ever think of that. But there's no way I could ever do that to guy in what is probably his teenage son with car in my driveway, in front of my driveway,
what
just broken down. I think I would have said, first thing out of my mouth would have been, where do you live? Like, do you need a lift? Like, I could probably, first thing I would have said was, you can leave the car here, because he pulled in kind of around us, like I was sort of halfway blocking his thing. Like, first thing I would have said is, like, if you want to leave the car, you can leave the car where it is. That's fine. Secondly, I probably would have said is maybe I got a neighbor or I know somebody who's got like a jack or something. And the third thing I would have said, even if it was just for me to get a $50 tip or something, would have been, where are you at? I mean, are you a mile away? Like, I could just give you a ride down Ventura or whatever. Where are you at? If he would have said something, I would have said, well, I'm down a little ways. But if you want to make $100, by all means, we'll take a lift, you know. But he was just like, good night. So he just went in the house. You know, I literally saw the light go off. It was like a fucking Waltons. And night, John boy. And so there we were, and I said, call a cab. So I called a cab, and I went, well, sir, it's a holiday weekend, so it could be up to an hour. And I just said, call another cab. And next thing you know, this guy's cousin pulled up in a minivan. And we just – now, first thing I had to do is back the car up 13 feet to the curb because it was in the guy's driveway. And backing a car up that does not have a tire – on the passenger side, but it does have the Space Saver spare tucked up underneath there, mm-hmm. but not bolted to anything, just resting on the fender. Not a great sound if you're an enthusiast. And just dragging it slowly backwards, just drag. Then fucking clenching my back the whole time. Now the story gets bad. Because I go, fuck it. Lock the car up, throw the chewed up tire in the back, throw everything in the back, slam the door shut. And as we're leaving, I look up and it says 1 hour parking, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. weekdays. And I'm like, fuck, tomorrow's Friday. Feels like a weekend, but it's a weekday. And like I said, the only fucking thing this city does well is hand out fucking parking tickets. And now on top of all this shit, I'm going to get a ticket. It was funny because it was so quaint. Because later on, when I was explaining this horrible tale to Lynette, because I said, well, we got to come back the next morning. She said something that I found very quaint. She said, why didn't you just leave a note on the windshield for the parking guy? Thanks, Aunt B. I'll see you and Goober down at the drugstore. I'm bringing Ellie Mae. Are you fucking nuts? Like, that's going to... By the way, I'm in love with the fact that you think that that's like, yeah. Oh, my God, it must be so great to be you that you actually think that this is going to work on the fucking parking Nazis. Listen, I could be on the hood with a fucking rusty piece of rebar going through my rib cage that was impaled me onto the hood, and they just put it moved my head aside to get to the fucking windshield wiper and slide the infraction under it. Are you fucking nuts? But I do love the idea of why didn't you just leave a note on, and well, they could clearly see the car was, you know, broken down. It would be awesome if we lived in a city where if you just paid a shitload in taxes that you could, they would offer you.
That you could even reason with anyone.
Oh.
Via note.
Goddamn. So we drive. We get home at like 1 a.m. My fucking back is like, feel like bulging. It's like pulsating in pain now. I've literally been, my knuckles are all chewed up. I've been on my knees. You know, again, I'm wearing shorts and flip flops. I've just been down on the curb in Reseda for like the last 3 hours. And, I just go home and pour myself a nice big fucking fat highball. And I'm like, all right. And I watch a little Sports Center. I try to forget all about it.
What was Casper doing at this point?
He was passed out, and then the alarm goes off the following day. Now, the alarm goes off the following morning. When I get out of bed, it is like I get out of bed with you don't know how fucking so there's nothing worse than already having the thing and then spending the night on your knees trying to lift things out of, you know. So I get up the next day and I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm hungover. My fucking back's killing me. But I'm not getting a fucking ticket. I'm not getting a ticket. So I say, it's funny. I walked into Casper sleeping on Sonny's bed. I walk in there. It's like 8:10. Casper, get up. We got to drive. We got to take a car and you got to follow me. I got to get the spare on. I'm bringing my floor jack. And then he just goes, he does that thing, that teenage boy thing where he goes, you go without me. I go, you don't get it. I need someone to drive with me because they got to drive one car back, and we got to get this floor jack out of the car, and we got. And he's like, all right, I'll be here when you get back. And I'm like, get up.
Poor Casper. He thought he was dreaming.
He was like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
So he like gets up. I get the fucking floor jack out of the garage. I put it in the trunk of the car. That was another like, ah, moment. And we're driving there. And I'm like, listen to me. You're going to follow me. We don't have to drive the freeway. I will drive the farthest any human being has ever driven down Ventura Boulevard. Because Ventura Boulevard runs right next to the freeway, and no sane human being would drive from Tampa to where I live on Ventura Boulevard. But we'll hit every fucking signal. We'll get behind every municipal bus. We will drive all the way down Ventura Boulevard. We'll take side streets to my house from here. But listen to me. I need you to follow me. You have to stay behind me. If cars start sliding in and stuff, we're going to get fucked up. Just stay behind me. And then I pulled up, you know where this is going. I pulled up to a car on the freeway. So we're traveling on the freeway, 25, 30 feet behind the car. And I said, see this distance? Do you see this distance? Yes. That is the distance. That's how much you're going to follow me by. You understand? All right. We get there. Crazy Middle Eastern guy with the ponytail comes up. Hey, how's it going? Thanks. Thanks for all the help, buddy. Thank you. Get my jack out. Jack it up. Change it, put the space saver on there. Get a can of Fix-A-Flat, fill up the back tire because I only have one.
I was going to say, did you have two spares?
I bought two things of Fix-A-Flat, a floor jack, and all the shit I needed. Changed the front, Fix-A-Flat in the back, went, started the car up, back killing me, turned it around. He starts up my car. I said, I'm going to drive this car in case the tires start going bad. You got to drive my car. I said, go, just drive forward, go to this huge intersection. Turn around and slide in behind me, and we'll start down Ventura Boulevard. I'm sitting there for 10 minutes. I'm like, I have no idea what just happened. There's a huge intersection. Like, it's 100 yards. Go just make a turn, U-turn, and come back around. Now I'm like, did he get into an accident? Oh, what's going on? I drive forward. Of course, as I'm driving forward, he's turning and driving toward me. I'm like, where did you go? And he's like, I had to put it in reverse a whole bunch of times. I was like, you could have just done a big loop and come. All right. So I do the... My life could have been summed up in this journey very easily.
My buddy loves driving now.
I said, Casper.
I'm sure he was like, it's illegal for him to be driving.
It is. I said, but yeah, I've driven with him a few times. And it's a holiday. There's no real traffic. I said, Casper, just stay behind me. We're just going to we'll stay in the right lane. We'll go all the way down Ventura Boulevard. It'll be a two-hour journey down Ventura Boulevard to my house, but just stay in behind me. All right. All right. Start taking off. Next thing you know, there's a football field behind. I have my hand out the window like a crazed person doing the crazed wave. Like, go, 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 go. And I just see his, you know, I'm going 31 miles an hour and he's 100 yards. I've had this happen a million times to me where you go, the follow part. All that's going to happen is I'm going to make a light, then you're going to miss a light, then I'm going to have to pull over, then someone's going to honk at me, then or cars are going to start. So I start doing the go, 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 just hands out the window, just go forward, go forward, go forward. And he's starting to like inch up, and I'm like, go. There's still like a 75 yards, and then we get to the first stoplight. And I'm doing the hand, I'm holding them out like the window, and I'm doing the hands, two hands wide, and then bring it in. Bring it in, hand move, you know, bring it in. And it's like, I'm going, you know, thumbs up, like, you got it. And it's like, I see him nodding, like, in the back. I'm like, bring it in.
You're like, bring it six, giving like signals. Right.
He thinks Adam's clapping.
Take off again. Gone. Can't see his front bumper. Like, and I'm like, hand out the window again, like, go, go. I was like, all the way down Ventura Ball. It's the weird, let me just tell you something. And I know, look, sweetest kid in the world. But I had it with him when I was driving with him, and I feel like this is going on a lot in life, where we're in the car, and I go, accelerate, 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 and it's about the fifth or seventh one, he starts to vaguely put his foot into it, and I just said to him, look, when I say do it, just do it, and then It'll work. I know what I'm doing. I wouldn't tell you to do it. And you're going to do it anyway. Why do it on the ninth command?
Why delay it, yeah.
And they're like, I don't know. I'm nervous. And it's like, okay, you're I'm nervous too, but just just do it. Just if I say accelerate, just accelerate. If I say brake, just brake. Like, what is the thing where, I mean, eventually, after we got into, you know, Studio City, started to kind of bring it in a little bit. 750,000 tally-ho movements with the hand. Like,
what speed would you estimate you were going?
I was going 27 to 32, like, the whole time. And he's just leaving this massive gap. And I was like, there's no reason to leave the gap. Just bring it in. You'll be, just be behind me. Just tuck in behind me. Like, but then I just realized that's kind of life, isn't it? Like, someone goes, here's the way I feel about this behavior or activity, or here's where I'm at. And you go, that's fine. Now don't do it. Do it this way. And they go, okay. And then they just go, fuck it.
Like, that, just kind of so go back. Often is how life and relationships are, yeah.
Yes. They just go back to it. And then you go, at a certain point, you go, what part of this don't you understand? And they go, I understand. And you go, all right, then just do
right.
it.
Well, yeah, at a
and
certain point, go, it's like, why are we trying to communicate about this? Because it's not getting through.
I don't know. Great kid, and got the cars home in one piece, and fucking back is killing me.
All like, this because of maple rye.
That's right.
Sounds like Casper.
Like a name for like a good hard-nosed prosecutor. Who are you working with? Steve Maple Rye. Ooh, he's one of the best.
He's the best.
He is the best.
He's never lost a case.
That clip from 2013. And Adam hanging out with his nephew Casper.
And you don't know anything about blown tires.
No, I don't. No, obviously.
So I just, by coincidence, that was in there, but I was like, oh, this is great that Chris just experienced this. It's another tie-in to the show.
It weirdly is. Yeah, there's always something. And in this case, it's the
Adam
blown
was
tire.
An Audi, and it was too close to the ground, and they had to leave it overnight. And it was a great story.
Yeah, trust me, there's been more blown tires since then, too. So I've seen it myself. Some of the cars Adam used to drive had very, very big wheels.
And remember, if you're ever driving and you have a rear-wheel drive car or a front-wheel drive car and you blow a tire or even two tires and it sucks and it ruins your day, just remember, anyone who's driving an all-wheel drive vehicle, they have to buy four new tires and you don't. So they may have some benefit when it's slippery out, but you only got to replace the one or the two, not all four.
All right, let's move over from wheels and talk about whales. This clip from 2014.
Adam Carolla Show 1384, featuring Mike Lawrence, not in this portion, Joe Coy, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's from the top of the show. Adam's got an insane riff on whales and the whaling industry, including like how whales might view part of it as like an experience of traveling to Mecca. It is insanity. It's so hilarious. We get another Brown Sugar cameo, mocking White Sugar with some very abusive language. And we get the pineapple upside down cake office staff poll. Check it out.
Good day, Allison Rosa.
Hello, Adam Carolla. I have an update on the cashew situation. Joe Coy, yesterday I mentioned that I found out after the vows were exchanged that my husband thinks cashews are overrated, which is insanity to me. Anyway, last night he said, not only am I a basic bitch, but I'm stuck in the yummy phase because cashews are the sweetest nut. Now, you said to call you if this came up again. Mm. I almost did, but I decided I would just bring it up on the show.
Well,
I mean, that's
cashews are delicious. Cashews are delicious.
Phase argument.
No, that is that
they're delicious, and I buy them at truck stops when they have the little heated plastic, like a little oven, toaster oven by the cash register. I buy that. It's 99 cents. Delicious.
Delicious. Yeah. Hot. Delicious.
Little hot
cold.
Lamp on.
Most
it.
Of truckers fuck those bags, but Joy actually,
I love them.
Yeah.
Stop calling me Joy.
Well, look.
Do you bring
is it really a tongue twister for you, Adam?
Why bother with Joe Coy when we can just call you Joy? I just feel like you have a luck and a club, and we're all settled. Joe Coy, Ball Brian is here as well.
God damn, girl.
At Jay Sherman wanted that with the hashtag top drop on Twitter.
Tell me what you guys think of this conceptually. And Joe Coy can be found, by the way, at the Newport Funny Bone in Cincinnati, Fort Lauderdale Improv, and Omaha Funny Bone as well. All coming up August 8th through August 10th, and then August 29th through the 31st, and September 5th through the 7th.
Are you sure about those dates? I looked, and Joy is playing.
Joy
this
is
shit.
Playing there.
So weird.
I don't know who she is.
She's hilarious.
Thank you very little.
podcast, the Yo and Joy Show. And Joy Show. So,
Joy and Joy?
What do you guys think about
Make me angry.
This? I heard on the news that blue whales were being photographed via satellite, and it turned out they were in shipping lanes. And it's first, I always think I love this country because I don't think any other country would lead the news with the fucking whale talk. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have problems here, or if we do, we ignore them. But either way, it's a lot of whale talk. I mean, if you think about
for how little they've given back to us.
How little they've given, like, we were done using their blubber for lantern oil about 150 years ago. I think just in general, how much save the whale talk, whale watching, stop the Japanese harpooning ships from, I think in general.
Yeah, whale reparations should be over.
Like, for me, I'm just going to look back, I'm going to be in my deathbed, and I'm going to be thinking about, they're going to go, is your life flashing before you? And I'm going to be going, yes. It's a gay whale. He wants to get married. He also wants to smoke cannabis. And we don't, and we're going to argue about it. Yeah. Oh, and we're worried
aquarium
about
aquarium to prison pipeline.
We're worried about the secondhand smoke that's coming from his cannabis. Like, it's, I feel like I've my entire life is just going to be one big secondhand smoke whale, gay right to marriage, a legalized marijuana thing, and then that's it. I won't remember my kids or anything else. I'll just remember gay whales not having the right to marry. And by the way, I want gays to be able to be married, and I want pot to be legal so I could get on with my
your
life.
Whale reverie.
But my point is, it led the news. It was the whales, and it turns out they are getting into shipping lanes, and they could theoretically be getting hit by container ships because they're in shipping lanes, and we got a picture of a huge container ship and a whale. Now, here was the thought I had. My thought, of course, wasn't, oh my God, someone's got to do something about the whales. I feel Daryl Hannah would have had that thought, but not this one.
She chained herself to a whale.
She's going to chain herself to a humpback. Gary, what is the size of the... I believe the sperm whale's the biggest, but the blue may be the biggest or the second biggest. It's 100 feet long.
I mean, these things are... The blue whale is the biggest, but certainly
blue or sperm, either way. But yeah, blue, 100 feet long and tons, thousands and thousands of pounds. And I just thought to myself, they're not that smart. When you see the picture of the container ship, now the blue whale may be several thousand pounds and 8,500 feet long, but the container ship is 700 feet long and weighs hundreds and thousands of metric tons.
This whale probably doesn't know that that's a ship, but he should know that's a
point.
Bigger fucking whale coming
towards
me. That's
what I'm saying. So the whale must be, the whale's got a weird life, because the whale's going around the ocean looking at great white sharks and going, 25 feet, 18 feet. I shit bigger than you.
You're nothing.
Yeah, that's right. And looking at giant yellowfin tuna and dolphins going, kibble. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they look up and here comes something that's 50 times their size just making their way and going, God damn, that is the biggest motherfucker in this. They have to think something of it, right? I mean, when they see other things swimming around the ocean, they have a thought.
Yeah.
They just must think, when they have, like, the whale convention.
Whale con?
And the narwhals are, they're grouped off over here, and the killer whales over here, and they think killers are pejorative, and they're arguing over whether they're white and black or black and white or mixed or what they should call themselves, whale American
Breakout
or whatever.
Sessions. Killer whales, really so dangerous?
Right. And there they are. At some point, somebody's got to go, there is that massive whale that never comes to the convention that dwarfs all of us that no humans ever really talk about. Yeah. And no Japanese ever tries to harpoon them.
Nuh-uh.
How come? Think how much blubber they could get from that whale. They'd kill thousands of us to get just the blubber from that one whale.
Super
they
whale.
Never go after them.
Is that whale like a god to them?
Obviously not, because he's cutting them off.
Oh, wait a minute. An angry, vengeful god. I just thought about it. But wait a minute. The Japanese whaling ship has to come across as a slightly bigger, super angry whale that shoots its tusk out at them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be like, hey, compadre, what's happening, big man? And then, like, that's Shaquille O'Neal, and then all of a sudden he shoots you in the side with something?
And then you get lifted out and up.
That's right.
Like raptured.
Like raptured. Yeah, man.
So whales are dumb then.
Well.
Compared to what?
Well, that was a dumb whale.
Well.
I mean, he swam directly across the bigger whale.
We were looking at a picture of a whale that was. Here's my point. You really should be able to get out of the way of something that's the size of the Chrysler building that is moving its way slowly through the ocean when you're fairly nimble.
Not running serpentine or swimming serpentine. It's kind of going in a straight line.
It's just going in a long straight line. You could probably feel it, feel those propellers turning from miles away.
I think you have to because isn't that
But I'm just saying,
sonar.
Psychologically, what's that whale thinking? What is it? What does he think of this thing?
These marine mammals are super smart, dolphins and whales. They probably couldn't articulate it, but they probably know that it's not animal, right?
Like,
let's check whale tweets.
What do they...
Like, cool fins.
But wait a second, Brian. They have no... They have no context for any man-made anything that's not organic. You know what I mean? I mean, that's moving, that's animated and not organic.
Don't whales use most of their brain, like more brain than we do? Don't they? Like,
how does anyone know?
We use 10%. They use like
nobody knows.
Joy just saw Lucy, so
that's what I'm saying. So then you don't. You're gonna,
Joycey? Did you see Lucy?
I'm gonna fucking leave if you call me Joy one more time. I saw Lucy yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
And are you obsessed with your brain?
I'm obsessed with the fact. I'm obsessed with the fact that they said that. The dolphin uses more brain than we do.
Dolphins don't have podcasts, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm or many of the other
or
things.
Do they?
They live in podcasts.
Compared to other dolphins or other animals,
Thank you.
Well done.
Maybe they are quite smart. Compared to people, I think that we are still leading the smart.
I want to know what does a whale and or a porpoise or dolphin think of a container ship?
Adam, here's what I'm trying
to say. I'm asking you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
What was the question again?
Jesus fucking Christ.
It was, what does a whale, porpoise, or dolphin think of a container ship?
Does it think it's a bigger thing, a bigger species that's moving through the ocean?
Yes.
Or does it not think at all?
Yes.
Or does it think that's some man-made something, even though it's not sure what man is?
Look, even the shark thinks a surfer is food,
right? Mm-hmm.
So then the whale's got to think.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, the shark sees the guy on the surfboard. The shark thinks it's a seal and comes up and hits it. Yeah.
I gotta think that they know it's not animal. I don't know,
but what are they, compared to what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Submarine is the only other thing that literally ever.
Well, they try to fuck submarines all day long.
Can I just get to what I wanted to say
real quick? Go ahead.
When we see a big dude, no matter how many times we see him, like over 6'6",
mm-hmm.
we always react the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We go, holy shit, he's tall.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. But we've seen him 1,000 times.
Right.
Holy shit, he's tall.
I know, we
and
do.
We give that same gawk and same
but
look.
But what I'm saying is...
This whale doesn't do this...
I'm 6'2".
I saw Shaq, and I freaked
And Shaq
the fuck
is
out.
7'2". So he's a foot taller than me, but it's really... He's only 13% taller than me. These things are 1,000% bigger.
Yes.
This would be like if Shaq was 200 feet tall... And his scrotum weighed several metric tons. Just to pick a part of him that we could get onto a truck scale. But you know what I'm saying. This has got to freak the whales out. I don't need answers. I'm posed questions. You form your own answers.
But if you did want answers, you know who I think would know? Either the makers of Blackfish or that woman who came in here and kept saying Aquaria.
Yes, I would like to talk to both. I'd like to talk to both of them.
What do the Japanese know? That we don't know.
About
they keep
whales?
Getting everything. These whales. What is it about this fucking whale that they want so bad? Like, it's the ultimate sushi.
Well, it must be delicious. It's
Have you
fat.
Tried whale? Yellowtail good.
Oh,
that fucking whale, though.
I'm assuming.
Oh, I love that whale with wasabi.
It's weird that the smallest people are killing the biggest creatures on the planet.
Have you ever had sashimi Toby?
No.
Toby whale.
Toby whale?
Toby dick whale.
Oh, Moby.
Toby.
Moby dick?
No. Toby dick whale.
Toby dick.
Delicious.
Do you guys, and what about the rainbow warrior?
Oh, rainbow warrior.
What's that?
Rainbow warrior.
The rainbow warrior. Yeah, the Greenpeace boat?
Yes.
You know Greenpeace?
What asshole they are.
Yeah, they hit you with a fire hose.
Just to get in front of Toby Dick.
Wow. Yeah. So the Greenpeace Rainbow Warrior comes up,
Ruin everything for us.
Yeah, you go out trying to catch a few whales.
Just one whale, that's all we want.
Well, usually
we can all share.
No, but then you come back out again, you get another whale.
Give
or two.
Or take four or five whales.
Yes. Yeah, it's a weird thing to be, you know, it's 2014.
Oh, so delicious.
Yummy. I don't feel like I miss whale, like around Thanksgiving.
Sashimi whale is something good for the holiday.
What's that day?
Holiday.
Holiday?
Japanese holiday.
Yeah, but here's what I'm asking.
Yes?
You guys are pretty evolved culture.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And it's 2014.
Oh, yeah. Very advanced.
Now,
have you seen our new Tower Vision?
Tower Vision?
Yes.
No.
Flat screen, Tower Vision.
I don't know what Tower Vision is.
Wow, it's where you watch a TV.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Television.
Yes.
It's what?
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
What I'm saying is this.
Uh-huh.
Here you guys, you're on the vanguard of technology.
Yes, we are. And very proud.
You're doing flat panel TVs that are quarter inch thick. Amazing computing and watches and stereos and electronics. But then you go out and you harpoon a whale.
Oh, my mouth just watered.
No, but what I'm saying is...
Oh, wow. Thank you, Adam. My stomach is a growling.
No, I'm saying...
You are the reason for whale's death
today. Let me ask you this, though. We used to do that 100 years ago, but then we stopped.
We've evolved past that.
We got past it.
But why?
Well, the only people...
So yummy.
Part of it is Hayden Panettiere, I think. But the other part is... There's other folks that do harpoon the whales, like Eskimos, they don't...
Smart people.
But when's the last time you bought a flat panel TV from an Eskimo company?
Right. Inuit.com.
Or bought an amazing luxury automobile from a company that was run and built by Eskimos.
It's not common.
It's not common. So I'm saying there are some people that still do it.
Have you tasted whale?
No, I don't.
You should try before you speak.
I don't feel like I'm missing whale.
Very delicious. Oily. Very yummy.
I guess what I'm saying
is... The best of the best.
Which is it?
The berry. The berry of the whale. Mm. So yummy.
What's a compelling point.
What I'm asking you is, are you incredibly advanced civilization?
Yeah, we make TV, so what? Big fucking deal. Have you tried whale?
Maybe that's how they honor the past while also looking forward.
Thank you, Brian.
But we have a past.
Cancer treat you very well. By the way, have you tried cancer? Just as good.
As the whale?
Oh.
You're losing me now.
I would ask. Listen.
Cancer sashimi.
The Rainbow Warrior. So I've not been on the Rainbow Warrior. But I think what they're doing is a good thing.
Oh, fuck those people.
I don't like you guys. I don't even care about whales. I don't like the idea that you're going out in 2014 harpooning whales. And let me say this.
Yes. Our new special for the day. Adam Carrara Sashimi.
You guys.
Pratter.
You guys invent everything. You have
Adam Carrara Sashimi Platter.
Carrara. Platter.
So yummy.
Corolla platter.
So yummy.
You guys, Honda came out with a little robot.
Oh, yeah.
It'll play chess. It'll clean your house.
Yep.
Couldn't you guys synthesize a whale?
No.
Imitation whale fat? I feel like you guys can do anything technologically.
Like, I can't believe it's not blubber.
Well played.
Yeah. Parker. Blubber. But you know what I'm saying?
We would never do such a thing.
Why not?
Because the whale is so yummy.
But we
no
have
matter
this,
how hard you try to duplicate whale,
let me explain our relationship
like
with whales. We don't really
we made
know
a fake pussy before.
That's what I'm
not
saying.
Feel like real pussy.
Well, understood. But it I don't know. We have a mixed and weird relationship with whales as Americans.
Ah, whatever.
We don't really like them that much, but yet we like to watch them. Mm-hmm. But yet no one ever talks about them majestically. There's not too many novels about them except for an evil whale that's going after
destroying ships.
Captain Ahab. The point is we don't know anything about whales. We don't really care. But
you don't need to know.
No, we don't.
Just know that they are delicious.
But we don't like the idea that you guys are harpooning them.
Well, you don't know how good a whale is, so why are you even saying anything?
Maybe I'm a hypocrite.
First.
We eat tons of crab and lobster. We like bluefin tuna. We eat everything else that comes from the ocean. For some reason, we're angry about the whales.
Just try
a whale?
So yummy. Adam Carrara sashimi whale powder. But
what if you go out and you harpoon a whale, and it's 170 tons? Oh,
so many Japanese
people. And I take a little bite, and I don't like it, and we got to throw it all away. I feel like a waste, you know?
Think of all their lantern oil you could make out of it.
Yeah, so but how many lanterns do you have?
That's a lot of lanterns.
I don't have any lanterns.
In Japan, I have 19 lanterns.
All run off of whale oil.
All of them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. House, well lit.
I can't, all well lit from whale.
From whale.
I feel like thank you guys. You.
Every time.
You're so advanced.
When I read
whales.
At night, when I read at night, I go, thank you, whale. I can read now.
But. It, again, I just feel like you guys are underselling yourself. You're so advanced.
I went to SeaWorld the other day, and boy, did my stomach growl.
No.
Oh, stomach just growling. Jump out of water.
It's so weird to me.
We won't touch dolphins and we won't touch whales in terms of food, but we'll make food out of just about everything else.
Everything
octopus,
else.
Yeah. Shrimp.
And then don't get me started on you guys
shrimp.
With the shark fin soup and rhino horn and all that
yummy.
Stuff. I just, you're a real Rubik's Cube.
Oh, fun puzzle.
Yeah. Do you know?
Yes.
Rubik's Cube?
Rubik's a cube.
Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's a cube.
Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's a cube.
Do you have Rubik's Cube?
Oh, yes.
I feel that's what you guys are culturally. Hard to figure out. Hard to master.
Yeah. The green, Rubik's, red, blue, yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah.
Rubik's yellow. Cube.
Mm-hmm.
That's you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we love rare. We love to eat a whale.
You love to eat the whale.
Yes. All just right. try.
All right. I
Parora, sashimi, prara.
What's platter?
Prara.
Prayer?
Prara.
Prayer?
Prara.
Prara?
Is a prayed with a sashimi.
Oh, a platter.
There you go.
There you go.
It is so good. It's unbelievable.
All right. Joe Coy is in studio, as you probably know by now. I was thinking, Joe Coy.
Yes, sir.
Tell me if you guys ever do this. I was doing this thing with Bill Shatner a little earlier today. He does a web series, Brown Bag Wine Club thing, where you sort of sit there and drink some wine and try to guess how much and where it comes from and stuff. It's an excuse to drink red wine with Shatner, get filmed. But next Monday is when it airs. And anyway, that's when, Shatner, who I, anyway, long story. Either way. I was sitting with the makeup person, and they're putting a little powder on me, and Matt Fondelier came in, and he said, when you guys go off to do a show in, Austin, and we're doing a show outside of Austin, but I'm doing a vintage race at the Coda track over there, the F1 track.
I think we're doing one in San Antonio?
We're doing one in San Antonio, but I'm sticking around and doing a race there in the Coda F1 track in outside of Austin. They're having a vintage race there. And he came in and he said, found a hotel room in Austin. It's a suite. You and all your guys can just, we just camp out on the floor. Everyone just sleeps around. And he said, it's $271 a month. Now, I know he meant $271 a night. And I never would have said anything, but because the makeup artist heard it too, I had to say something because now the makeup artist heard his fuck up too. Where are you guys at with that? Like, I knew he meant 271, and I like when people just let that stuff go. He said, I found a room, it's $271 a month. And I know he meant night, and I was never confused, and I wouldn't have been confused. But would you correct him anyway? Or would you correct them only if someone else? You know that thing where somebody else overhears what goes on and now you feel like you must say something because otherwise they're going to think you think that too?
Do you when you're asking this question, do you mean are we going to correct them sarcastically?
No, I just
or
mean
with a
correct
funny laugh
them.
At the end. Like, you mean
I'm just saying, are you going to? I would normally say nothing because I know what he means.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know he fucked up.
What's to be gained from correcting him?
Well, I think there's a lot of people who, if somebody says
something that's incorrect, mm-hmm. correct the other person. Mm-hmm. First off, people are assholes.
That's
like
true.
When people go, people say something like all the time. They'll go, hey, you want to go out to dinner and then we'll see a movery? And they go, movery, movery, movery. And you go, sorry, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I meant movie.
Yeah.
Movery, but you said movery. And you're like, sorry.
That's
I thank you for pointing that out because I was going to go my whole life pronouncing it movery. Right. So, first off, there are plenty of dickheads that do that. Number one, there could be somebody who actually thinks it's $271 a month, mm-hmm. even though I didn't. It's not even an insulting correction. It's you said a month, but you meant a day.
Right.
I'm guessing most people might say something. I don't know.
If like, are you worried? Sorry, go ahead.
If I moved to say anything, I'd try and say it with a joke. Like, oh, $271 a month, hell of a deal. I'm moving to Austin.
Right. I wouldn't burn the calories normally.
Save that.
Let me write that down. Save it for the live show.
My point is, I wouldn't.
No, I'm saying I wouldn't have said anything in the first place. But now that there was a set of ears that
heard
it.
Were you worried that she was also confused, though? Or you just didn't want her to think that you didn't notice?
There was a witness to this verbal crime. No, I...
Well, you're guilty, too,
yes,
if you don't speak up.
She would think that I didn't hear him.
But then like there's those people out. That, like, during the holidays, when there's, like, items that are placed everywhere, and there's, like, this 75% clearance rack... And then there's an item that was placed there that obviously would never be on sale. And they bring it up to the register and they go through the motions until the cashier rings it up. And then they do that dumb look like, but it's on the $495 rack.
Right.
It was on that rack.
Yeah.
Why are you charging me $340 for that?
It's
super clearance at $145.
Sir, that's a Lexus 430. That's
I know,
an $81,000 automobile.
But it was on the rack.
That's leather. That's heated steering wheel, heated and cooled seats. That's the V8. That's the all-weather package.
I totally understand.
It's 81,000.
I know what's inside the Lexus.
Moonroof.
That's not my problem. What I'm saying is, it was on that rack for $1.45.
It's an $81,000.
I have $2. You can keep the change.
No, I do
it
like
was on
those
that
people.
Rack. Can I speak to your manager?
So, you guys would correct him if there was a set of ears around.
I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't.
I think what I would do is then when he walked away, I think I would say, I think he meant a day or a night.
But then you're saying
to the person. To the person?
Yeah, to the makeup artist.
What if, okay.
But then you're both dumb. Why would you think you could get that room for $271 for the month?
Nobody would. It's the point is he said something that was wildly inaccurate,
okay.
And then you didn't say anything. So you just said okay, which made it seem like you thought that's what it was. Now the makeup person is thinking you think you're going to get a hotel room for $271 a night. So they think you're stupid. So you have to say something because you just agreed.
Yeah. I might actually be that asshole who would say something in either scenario just so that it gets filed correctly in my own head.
Yeah, I guess I would too.
Well, I might double check.
I would probably say you mean per day.
Okay.
I would do that.
Yeah. I didn't. I was. By the way, when I brought it up, I did 10 minutes on it. And I said, normally I don't want to waste time with this stuff, but here it goes. And the makeup artist said, that seemed awfully cheap for a hotel room. So they obviously were thinking about it themselves.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to say something about it. All right. Joe Coy, somebody just. They forwarded me the brown sugar, white sugar thing, which I enjoyed so much. And somebody, you can go to YouTube and, I don't know, punch in Joe Coy brown sugar or something. Someone made a really funny video of the sack of brown sugar and the sack of white sugar.
Yeah.
And they obviously burned some calories on it. We'll put it on our homepage. But
did you see the Black Lab cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
That one's funny,
Black
too.
Lab is really funny, too. More at Joe Coy at his best.
You're welcome.
I was thinking...
free of charge.
I was thinking, what else the hell can we do with brown sugar? Back then, he was trying
to... Anything you want, motherfucker.
Well, I wanted to say, brown sugar...
Speak.
You do a lot of things well.
Yes, I do.
You're fantastic over the oats. You know, the hot oats in the morning, the oatmeal. It's great.
You mean them... Quaker-ass motherfuckers.
Right. But I would argue without a splash of
white milk.
Bland,
you
motherfuckers.
Wouldn't, you wouldn't be
What's
what you were.
Oatmeal without brown sugar, motherfucker?
Well, what I was going to...
Nothing, just
gonna,
oats.
I was going to ask.
Just wake up in the morning, eat some dry-ass oats.
Yeah.
Sprinkle some brown sugar on it.
And you're quite...
Delicious.
You're certainly...
Delicious. You're say it. Duh.
Duh.
Leh.
Leh.
Shus.
Shus.
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar.
Motherfucker.
Right.
Say it.
No, I don't
say
use that kind of language on the air.
Fuck your oats.
Now, anyway.
Put me on some good shit.
What we're thinking about doing.
Ham. You ever have ham?
I have had ham. Yeah.
You ever put brown sugar on ham?
I've had honey, honey baked ham. And yes, you and your ilk are awesome on top of it.
Exactly.
And I've always said there's some good brown sugar out there. They're not all. You know what I'm saying?
The fuck you talking about?
Well, I'm obviously...
Say it to my face, motherfucker.
I read the newspaper.
What do you mean there's some? All of us,
I've seen the news.
Better than the white sugar?
Well.
Better than the white sugar?
Well, now, hold on. That's the reason I want to speak to you.
White sugar got little dicks.
You know...
Brown sugar got big, fat sugar cane dicks.
I don't know why
that's why y'all mad. Mad because we got big sugar cane dicks hanging out our bags.
This is... What people are talking about when they talk about brown sugar. They're so...
Speak to me like a man, motherfucker. Why do you keep looking down?
It's the confrontation, the anger.
Wouldn't you be mad? Wouldn't you be mad?
I'm just saying...
I'm next to Ajax, motherfucker. Pine saw.
Well, you're under...
Where's white sugar at?
You're under this thing for a reason.
Now, what?
I've said the pantry.
Why can't I be in the pantry?
We have a nice thing going on. It's a quiet community. We're not looking for trouble.
Gated motherfucking community.
We're just not looking for trouble.
Can, motherfucker.
Okay, okay. We have a certain... We're set in our ways. That's all I wanted to say. And I speak for the white flour. I speak for the baking soda.
Fuck baking soda. What the fuck does baking soda ever do?
Hey.
Nothing.
First off, we're...
Flavorless motherfucker.
We are open... To a diverse community. We let wheat germ in a few years ago.
Wheat germ. Germs.
Yes, the wheat germ. And they fit in quite nicely into our community.
Germs.
Now,
love that shit, don't
what
you?
I wanted to talk about was dessert.
What dessert?
Well, we enjoy pineapple upside down cake. And you
about
are...
About to get punched in the motherfucking face.
Hear
What's
me
your
out.
Favorite Pop-Tart, motherfucker?
We agree that the cinnamon and brown sugar
delicious,
is top
motherfucker,
three.
Yummy.
It's certainly top three. I'm saying this. You are the main ingredient in pineapple upside down cake. I mean, as far as the sweetener goes.
Pineapple ain't shit without brown sugar, and you know that.
Maybe
Say
it's
it.
Time for a change.
Say it.
It's just the folks in the pantry have been talking, and we thought maybe white sugar...
Fuck
could just kind of slide in, and we could try pineapple upside down cake without you one time.
Try.
Just to see.
Try
just
it.
To break it up. Just
try
to mix it up. Just
try
to see how it felt. Just to try,
try
it one time.
Right in front of me.
I
Do
could
right
go
now.
Ahead.
Do right now, motherfucker.
Hold on. This is what I'm talking about.
No, you testing me.
This is what
me.
I'm talking
you're
about.
You testing me.
This is what I'm saying. This is why you're under the sink with the cleanser.
This is why. Motherfucker. Say that to
and
my face again. Say it to my face again.
Listen.
Say it again.
First off,
uh-huh.
You're looking at me.
Yeah.
One of my best friends in the pantry.
Who's that?
Aunt Jemima and Mrs. Buttersworth. I have no problem with those people.
You racist.
I know they're some of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Aunt Jemima.
Yes.
Sell out.
Feels like you're digging yourself
Sail
a
out, bitch.
No, Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima and myself were dear, dear friends.
I know, but putting that forth as an example of your tolerance doesn't
I
doesn't
don't
help your case.
Have a problem.
Uncle Ben?
He's a fine Southern gentleman, and we have no problem
Sail
with
out,
him in our community. He's done
I
just
stay
fine
real,
by
ma.
Us.
I stay real. Real brown.
Okay. I'm simply saying...
Fuck it. I'm going to stay right here. I don't give a shit. It's
we're
cool
going to
here,
make some pineapple upside down cake.
Try.
And we're going to do it with me this time. That we do not require your services. It's not a full-time switch.
Fuck your pineapples.
It's just something, this is what I'm talking about. It's something we would like to try out. And I just feel like, yes, I dominate the confection area, donuts, cakes, pies, and things like that. But I've never branched out into a pineapple upside down cake, and it's just something I'd like to try.
Try it with white sugar.
That's what I'm saying.
It'd be boring as hell.
I'm just saying, we're just going to try it once.
And it won't taste good at all.
I'm warning. I'm saying this as a friend.
You my friend?
As a friend.
You are not my friend.
We share the same kitchen. We both have young children and dreams.
Trash can, motherfucker.
Look.
That's where you going to put me? Most delicious spice in this motherfucker?
Listen, as a pillar of this community and as a parent, you know, sweet and low, my son. Seen the little packets running around.
That shit ain't even real.
Okay, now you've crossed the line. Now you've crossed the line.
Cancer causing motherfucker.
Okay, now you've crossed the line.
Brian loves sweet and low.
You still have your place in barbecue sauce. That's not going anywhere.
Goddamn, you goddamn right.
You're indispensable.
We're not
going to
take that away from you.
Put me on some ribs. Put me on some ribs.
Understand.
Put me on some baked beans, motherfucker.
And you got your little...
Put me on some baked beans. You ever had plain old baked beans?
No, I
don't
want to.
They just beans, motherfucker.
Look.
Put some brown sugar.
I'm a family man. I have my...
Delicious!
My little sweet and low packets to look after, and you have your Toll House morsels. Now listen to me.
You even adopted that vanilla extract.
That's right.
You took extract over me.
I just want to try... The pineapple upside down cake. Just take the weekend off.
Where the fuck am I supposed to go?
Chill out. You've got cleanser.
I want to get to the motherfucking.
You've got the ant killer you can talk to. Share some war stories with the ant. No, don't anger Ray.
This is bullshit, man.
Don't
you know it?
You better hope Ray doesn't hear you.
Let me ask you one more question. One more again.
Mm-hmm.
When you eat breakfast, you get some oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like to put on it? Be honest.
You, brown sugar.
Goddamn right.
Okay.
Brown sugar in the morning.
But I'd like to try pineapple upside down cake just one time.
I am delicious, motherfucker.
With everybody from
mouthful.
Our community. That's all I'm saying. We have the canned pineapple over here. We have the flour over here. Okay.
Dole ain't shit on me.
Oh, you don't anger Dole.
C to the motherfucking H. Brown sugar.
Okay. You want to talk to Dole?
C to the motherfucking H. Brown sugar.
You get on the wrong side of Dole and Raid, and you're going to have a very fucking long and uncomfortable life. Have you seen Dole's calves?
I've seen
Dole's
calves.
They're huge.
Calves. Make Samoan motherfuckers.
Yeah. Do not anger Dole.
Big pineapple calves.
He's a nice guy, but do not cross Dole.
Yeah, I know. I know
Dole. And I'm circles or chunks.
He's almost black.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Careful now with
Dole. Biggest Asian I've ever seen.
That's right. All right. So, just enjoy yourself under there. What's it like when they turn the incinerator on? Like when they turn the garbage disposal on? That's what I'm saying.
There's a goddamn earthquake.
Yeah.
Scares the shit. I'm not going to raid.
It's not therapeutic?
Not at all, motherfucker.
Shakes you the right...
I'm next to the trash can. Mm. Shit starts shaking.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck am I supposed to do? I am sugar.
No, you're brown sugar. And I'm going to take over the pineapple.
Sugar is sugar.
Obviously, there's little differences.
My dick is bigger than the other sugars.
Again, that's the problem.
Sweet and low don't even have a dick.
You talk a lot about...
Little pink bag.
You want people to integrate you into their forms of confection. You never stop talking about your cock. What?
White sugar got a little dick and good credit. That's it.
Yeah, that's right.
Brown sugar got a big dick and a lot of loans. A lot of unpaid loans, motherfucker.
That's what
I'll pay. I'll get to it if you get me in the pantry so I can work with the other motherfucking baking goods.
Right.
I can pay off these motherfucking loans.
Right, but all the dick talk is
go
not
see
gonna,
my kids.
All the dick talk.
How many kids I got?
I've seen the sack of Toll House morsels.
There's a bag of raisins in the pantries that I know.
The point is this.
Got my eyes.
What I'm asking is this. It's this dick talk that prevents you from getting into the pantry.
Dick talk is real talk, motherfucker.
But you never stop talking about your dick. You never stop using profanity.
You never recognize me for my dick.
I'm not...
We're not disagreeing. It just might be holding you back.
We're here...
Who the fuck are you? Who said you can talk, motherfucker?
That's baking soda. Yeah, that's Arm & Hammer.
I make things fluffy.
He's a good man.
That's right.
So done with this motherfucker.
He's very versatile.
Make the refrigerator smell clean.
Little bit of me goes a long way.
Stick to bacon, motherfucker.
You can brush your teeth with them. You can put them in the fridge. Absorbs odors. I fart around him all the time. It's awesome.
Doesn't bother me at all.
He's an awesome friend I have. When
cleans
you have
it right up, doesn't he?
That's what I'm saying. Now listen to me.
Put him next to the goddamn trash can.
Listen, he's a legacy. He was born in the pantry.
Yep.
Then his ancestors were born in the pantry and then moved to
the
refrigerator. Whatever it is, he's in the pantry.
Where's Aunt Jemima at?
She got put in the pantry as well, initially just to help.
Now she's there full time. The point is this. We would like to help you get into the pantry, but it's all the dick talk.
How do I get into the pantry, motherfucker?
Stop talking about your penis.
It's not a penis, motherfucker.
Stop talking about your
it's
cock.
It's a dick.
Oh, your dick, sorry.
It's a big, black, brown dick.
All right, and stop with the profanity. Okay?
Fuck you.
That was some incisive social commentary.
Thank you. It's powerful.
That was fun.
That was good times. Yeah.
Is that
I don't know why.
Out?
I went.
It's going to sound like a Cat Williams special.
I had this thought, and I thought, I fucking love pineapple upside down cake. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I never eat pineapple upside down cake, and I never order pineapple upside down cake. And then I realized it is the dessert equivalent to fish and chips.
I thought you were going
to
say meatloaf, but yes,
fish and chips.
Yeah.
I love it, never order
never
it.
Never get enough.
As a matter of fact, I could think of no greater night out of dining than ordering fish and chips and then pineapple upside down cake, although it never happened. It never happened. And then, of course, Gary chimes in and said, that's the only dessert we would order when we went out. And I was like, I didn't even know
it's offered that many places.
I've never seen it anywhere. I've never had anyone next to me order it.
Let's come up with a menu for the week. We'll make it for our listeners. It'll be Bring It Back Week. Shepherd's pie. Meatloaf.
Oh, I love
egg
it.
Egg salad sandwiches.
Yes, lunches, egg salad sandwiches. Oh, Bring It Back Week.
Somebody made...
like a cafeteria from the 1950s.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
When we went out to play Long Beach a few weeks ago...
Root beer floats.
Root beer floats. Somebody just made me a pot of Irish stew. Like literally Tupperware, foil over the top of it.
What's an Irish stew?
Foil over the top.
What's
an Irish stew?
Bailey's?
It's basically just... You guys don't know Irish stew?
I've never had it.
No, I do.
It's just stew.
Okay.
I don't know. I think what we call stew is Irish stew. Okay, it's just potatoes and chunks of meat, whatever. This person, this hero, this saint who worked at the club, was like a bartender or something and just heard me, well, because I told Lynette about it. But anyway, I came home that night at 1:30 in the morning, ate half the Tupperware of Irish stew that night, and then the following day, for breakfast, I ate the rest of the Irish stew. And then Lynette said, what are you doing for breakfast? I said, I ate a bunch of Irish stew. And she said, where the hell did you get Irish stew? And I said, Fan gave it to me. And she said, because you never stop complaining about me not cooking. And I went,
oh,
it could be connected.
Maybe.
Maybe this is just the Irish stew talking, but yes. But either way, it was so fucking satisfying. Like, and then somebody was telling me about their grandfather, and he cooked Hungarian, and I had Hungarian, and the spretzel, and the stew, and the chicken paprikash, and all that stuff. But yes, we should put together a list, and I'm telling you, everyone I know loves pineapple upside down cake. Let's do a quick
pot pie?
Dawson.
Yeah, boss.
Do you like pineapple upside down cake?
No, I do not.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, but still.
I knew he wouldn't.
Is that why you asked him first?
I have a weird intuition, like when the time Matt came in wearing his father's tennis shoes, and I wanted to know what was up with his shoes. Mm-hmm. I kept asking what was up with his shoes until he admitted to me that they weren't his. I have a way of tuning into the negative, you know, very immediately. Let's find out here, Dawson, other than you, who enjoys pineapple upside down cake? Now, I know Gary enjoys it quite a bit because he did it. I enjoy it quite a bit. Brian?
It's very good. Not in my top five desserts, but very good.
Very good.
Yeah, I like it. I don't come across it very often.
All right. Joe?
Only eat it when it's around. I love it every
time. Okay. All right. Fondelier. Is everyone sitting down?
Fondelier has two
enjoys
thumbs up.
Enjoys it. Yeah. All right.
Two thumbs up. That means he really likes it. He even eats the fake cherry in the middle.
So, I think out of, I don't know, eight or nine people here, let's just say out of eight people, seven people like it very much.
Sounds about right.
Now.
Chris was also a yes, but Kalen's never experienced it.
Okay. Here's the next question. When is the last time any of us have eaten a piece of pineapple upside down cake? And I think the over under is 7 years.
Last year. Fucking Dawson. Just don't want to let you down, boss.
That's right. That's right. You don't normally
I don't care for a story that's coming in and leaving.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But that was a rare experience. Wow.
All for you, boss. Just didn't want to let you down.
Well okay.
Played.
All right. So other than Dawson completely destroying my theme.
It may have been decades, like 20 years.
That's
plus.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, I can't remember.
What
yeah.
else can you say that you really enjoy?
I'm not going to lie, but I think I was in the hospital. I think I just got out of surgery.
I think I was visiting someone in the hospital last time I saw it.
So I ate
hospitals
all of it.
Are hogging all of it.
I think I even asked for a second piece of pineapple.
Can I tell you a big dollop of whipped cream on there, especially homemade? Mm-hmm. And here's the key. You don't need to add sweetener or sugar. Just take whipping cream, whip it into whipped cream, and put a big dollop of that on top of it. Un-fucking-bereavable.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. All right. So, Brian, I will put this upon you.
Okay.
I want a menu.
Tweet me your suggestions at BaldBrian, and we'll come up with a menu for the week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, listen. Do not give us steak.
No, stuff that you haven't had in maybe 10 years or don't have nearly often enough.
I could go for, and this has been decades, I could go for a good tuna casserole.
Oh, wow. Good call.
Never had that with the cheese melting on top.
Noodles.
Never,
crispy onion.
I've been a million years since I've tasted that.
When's the last time you had a shepherd's pie?
Cheesecake Factory. Casserole?
That again. All right. So go ahead. Okay. We'll put a menu together. Let's.
Did anyone say chicken pot pie?
No, not yet.
Mention a pot pie. Yes.
Or maybe once.
Definitely do that.
All right. Let's see. Joe Coy?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what you do. You can go to joecoy.com.
Can we spell it out?
JOKOY.
There you go.
.com. Twitter, same, Joe Coy. Podcast, Yo and Joe Show. New episodes available every Tuesday on iTunes. Joe is always playing around town, all over the country, doing just a fucking Lord's work up on stage. So go to joecoy.com and find out any dates.
Adam, when are we going to be on stage with you?
I don't know. Whenever. As soon as possible.
Jeez.
Listen.
Put you on the spot.
Well, let me tell you something. Brian.
Yeah, buddy.
You back me up because you've been with me for a long time. Every once in a while, there's two things that drive me nuts in life.
I don't know about that. Oh, sorry. Fucked it up.
There's two things. When our old engineer, Anderson.
Good guy.
Would say, hey, you know, Adam only likes Brian because he's a brown noser. I become violent because I'm like, Brian disagrees with 92% of what comes out of my mouth, sometimes before I'm done saying it.
It's closer to 94, but okay.
So the notion that I only like Brian because he's a brown noser makes me insane, and I think that's why Anderson says
that's why
it.
He does it.
All right. The other thing that makes me insane is when people go like, well, this comedian or that comedian, you know, where's this? Is how come it's been a while? And go, well, you know, when a funny guy comes on, then Adam feels a little pressure and then he doesn't want to feel.
You would like nothing better than to sit back and let someone be funny.
I would love to sit up on stage with anybody and they could do all the heavy lifting and I'll just get paid at the end of the night.
Called brilliance.
I just had this conversation today with Giovanni. He had me on his podcast, which was going to come out in a few days. And he's like, some comedians get upset because they're like, oh, Adam didn't want me on this show for the first 5 years, but now that I'm popular, I'm just like, Adam has nothing to do with the booking. All he wants is funny people to come on the show and be funny. Like, this is a very perceived thing on some people's parts.
It's weird,
right? Where did
he
get that from,
and
though?
If you're funny, if you're Harlan Williams or David Alan Greer or Joey Okoye, you come on early and often as much as humanly possible.
You couldn't fuck up anybody else's names but mine. How about Joy Moore? He's funny.
Dana Gould's going to be with up with us, and no, Dana Gould. It's Dana Gould. He's funny. Why not? Let him come on. I don't know
where that comes from. I really don't. Why do they associate that with you? I don't get that.
Because they probably tried to get on the show and for whatever reason couldn't, has nothing to do with Adam. But then they read into it.
I think they think comedians are like hyper competitive. Two or something, but I looked at it the same way when I was cleaning carpets. If there was a guy who just worked his ass off and it was just me and him cleaning a colony kitchen in Baker, California, I'm like, let me work with that dude.
Yeah.
He's cleaning his ass off versus the guy sitting smoking and I'm doing all the fucking work.
Yeah.
So Joe Coy is legitimately funny and welcome on stage as often as we can get him on stage. All right.
Just don't be too funny.
I love you.
Yeah, not funnier than me, because I won't tolerate that.
That clip from 2014, and it makes me want some pineapple upside down cake right
I learned
now.
How to make it in kindergarten, and it's always been like one of those things in my memory, like it's one of the best desserts you can ever have, but I only see it at like crappy grocery stores and the bakery, and every time I try to buy one, it tastes like garbage. I'm like, I have to make this at home, but then I never do.
I'm jealous. All right, that'll do it for Cruella Classic. I want to remind everybody again about Geico. If you own or rent, then let's make life real easy by bundling those policies with Geico. All right, Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or your renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it just makes everything a lot easier if you do that, okay? So make sure to check out geico.com. Get a quote. See how much you could save. How easy is this, Gio?
It's Geico easy.
Oh, yeah. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, that'll do for Cruella Classics this weekend. The Adam Carolla Show returns tomorrow. We'll have a lot to go over because Adam just went racing. And Peter Facinelli is scheduled to be on, so...
Oh, I love him. He's great on air with Adam. He used to come on Loveline and talk about going to Little Caesars after they got a phone call from a guy who violated the Little Caesars pizza dough, and he was very disturbed by it. He was trying to figure out which one the guy worked at. And then, of course, Can't Hardly Wait, originally called The Party, yes. Which you've never seen that unrated cut of that movie. Dude's a legend, and he's a legend on air with Adam. I can't wait to hear it.
Let's do it. All right. So make sure to tune in for that. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next weekend. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Rest in peace, Steve Grad. Rest in peace, Oswaldo Castillo. Mahalo, and get it on.
Explore the tropics at Whole Foods Market through April 16th. Save on juicy finds like yellow mangoes at 5 for $5 with Prime. Sweet Dacopan citrus is back, just $3.49 per pound with Prime. Plus, save on seasonal favorites like dragon fruit, kiwi, pineapple, and more. In the meat department, pick up animal welfare certified meats with tropical-inspired marinades. And be sure to try the spicy Hawaiian pizza, back for a limited time, only at Whole Foods Market.
Bring the sabor with Modelo Chelada, a mouth-watering mix of authentic Mexican beer, bold fruit flavors, and spices. Bring the heat with Sandia Picante or the citrus burst of Limón y Sal. Modelo Chelada, bring the sabor. Drink responsibly. Modelo Chelada flavored beers, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.